Hello, everyone, and welcome back to 100, episode 183 of Sal and Crowdy here for you again on an exciting Wednesday, March 6th, 7:01 p.m., 2 days away from the NHL trade deadline. We'll have some Bruins, we'll have some NHL trade deadline stuff, and so much more tonight. I'm very excited for this one, one of my favorites of the year. Ryan, how are you doing?
I was doing well until you told me a trade that just broke that kind of hurt me a little bit. A guy we've talked about with the Bruins. I'm not going to spoil it. But if you were a Bruins fan like you and I, hoping this guy was going to be on this team either this year or next year, I think that hopes of that may have just been dashed. I'm sure we'll get into the big deal in a second. But yeah, like you said, it is exciting because there's a lot going on. Just from a show standpoint, always fun to get to talk all four Boston sports teams and in the leagues. But from a more, one-centric sport league, the initial trade deadline, as you said, right around the corner, I believe tomorrow. Don't know the time. But yeah, exciting times because deals are starting to come through, and hopefully we have a couple on the show. And like I said, we just kind of had one right before we jumped on.
Yep, and we'll get into the Vegas Golden Knights, who just landed one Noah Hanifin in a second. But quick reactions to the Noah Hanifin trade. We'll get more details as they come out. In a contract extension is in the works. Would imagine this spells the end for Alec Martinez after this year of his time in Vegas, but you never know. But my God, I don't care what the return is. You're looking at a probable extension for Noah Hanifin, who's playing fantastic. You have Alex Pietrangelo. You have Brayden McNabb, Zach Whitecloud, Nick Hague, Shea Theodore. That's just an insane defensive
Absurd.
core. Best in the league, deepest in the league. Another day one with size last year. Now they add a 6'3", 6'4"-ish defenseman who's close to 215. Like this, you can make the case puts them as the favorite now. Like, I don't even think that's that crazy. They get Anthony Mantha too. If they get creative enough, I think they could add another forward. They just got to, make it work money wise. But my God, what a massive deal. What do you think? I'm just like, it made sense because they've always been like one of those teams sneaky linked there. But you're like, all right, long term IR, might be a little tricky. Let's see if they can actually do it. They did it. And yeah. They're going for back-to-back Stanley Cups in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. I think it was you that brought up that maybe Tampa Bay would get involved. So I think that's one of the big positives, if there is a positive. Again, speaking from just a Bruins fan point or fan standpoint alone, like the fact that he didn't go to the Lightning is good. But as I kind of alluded to when we started the show, it is a massive kick in the balls if you're a Bruins fan and you thought, as you and I both did, and a lot of people did, that this was a guy that was going to be high on their priority list probably going into the offseason. Would definitely be a fit here with, obviously, as we'll get into, the Bruins' continuous defensive struggles. Obviously, that was my first mindset when we jumped on here right before we started, and you said that he was going to Vegas. I'm like, oh, is that contingent with an extension? You said yes, as we now know that's going to be the case. So yeah, it's just a huge blow to the Bruins alone if you thought they were going to maybe get involved at the deadline or push it off and wait till the offseason. Obviously not going to be the case now. Now they obviously have to pivot to another alternative,
Someone
and who knows
else.
what that might be.
Yeah, and the extension isn't 1,000% official yet, but every time there's a scenario like this and there's a rumored extension, it always
You have
happens.
to
So,
assume, yeah. I mean, you're not giving
yeah.
up whatever. Obviously, we don't know what the return is yet, but I think we talked about this last week too. Like, there's got to be a hefty price coming back, even if the guy is a flight risk. So I don't think you make a deal with a ton going back if you don't think you can sign him to an extension. It would be dumb for Vegas, obviously, not even to try. So.
Yeah, and that maximizes what they can get for Calgary's sake with the extension. Vegas has some prospects left, and they have all three of their upcoming first-round picks. They traded one of their future seconds yesterday in the Mantha deal, but they have ammo, so I'm curious to see where this goes. I imagine it's a first and a pretty decent prospect, and then maybe another piece. Who that prospect could be, maybe it's Lucas Cormier. That's a guess for me, just throw a name out there. But we'll get more into trade stuff in a little bit. We'll talk about the Vegas Golden Knights, who the Bruins beat on the 29th, 5-4. The Bruins don't like to make it easy, but 32 saves on 36 shots for Swayman. They outshoot the Golden Knights 36-32. Interesting breakdown in shots here. Bruins dominate the first period in shots 16-8. Then it goes 15-7 Vegas and 13-9 Vegas. This is the Morgan Geeky show. He gets it started with the goal scoring. Yes, for Boqvist, who's been playing great, follows it up not too short shortly after, off a great little reverse pass behind the net by Lauko. The second Geeky goal was just too easy. When you have Pasta, gifting you easy goals in the breadbasket there, you're gonna be pretty happy with yourself. Vegas fought back though. A little flop pass to Cotter and a weird Devers tweet from Vegas. I didn't expect that, but that was pretty funny, I guess. And the Petrangelo goal was just messy around the net. Can happen. Kind of a theme at times this week or past week. Pasta sets up Geeky again, this time on a falling tip-in, and that's a fir the first career hat trick for Morgan Geeky. We got two first career hat tricks this year, with now Heinen and Geeky. The Amadio goal was just a gift from the defense. Again, a bit of a theme at times here. And got a little ugly with a shorthanded goal late. Pasta can't control loose puck. Stevens takes it for a shorthanded goal. And then Mason Lowry, his first big moment as a Bruin. Three assist game against the Oilers. That first game up doesn't hurt either. But this was the big one. You see a moment like this for any player on any team. Like the atmosphere, they always talk about it. He was fired up. He's like, I've never been in that type of atmosphere from something I did, essentially. And that was pretty cool to him. This is another one, like in a different vein than the Oilers one. Like the Oilers game that went to overtime was chaotic, and it was a good win, a good feel good win that rallies the team. This was similar, but not quite to the level of that Oilers game, but a good win nonetheless. You catch much of this one?
Yeah,
Interesting game.
I did not. I was just gonna say, I don't know how much of a feel good win or feel good it can be when you blow as big as a lead as they did in this game. But like you said, I mean, they do rally late. You get a nice goal from one of your younger guys, which obviously helps build confidence. So look, at the rate they're going, this is one of those games I feel like you kind of take what you can get. You escape with a win, which is good, but as we'll get into, and like you've alluded to a couple of times, there's still some massively glaring problems on this team that just do not look like they're going to get fixed anytime soon. So even with a win like this may be the pessimist in me coming out. I can't get behind it, and I can't feel confident about it because, like we said it last week in the show, how many times are you going to make the same mistakes over and over again and just not be able to fix them? And they continue to not be able to hold leads. You've said it before. I've said it before. I think you tweeted it out last night. You can pretty much set your clock to when these games are going to become meltdowns. And there really, again, isn't any sign of that not happening. So, again, it's a nice win to an extent.
Yeah, I think you nailed it perfectly.
Thank you.
Yeah, things get dicey, and have gotten dicey in a lot of these games, and a lot of that chaos comes at the end of these games. So, didn't really have to worry about that one against the Islanders, though, in enemy territory. Just a brutal, brutal performance, a 5-1 loss. Ullmark stops 21-26. They get outshot 26-23. The Lowry-Carlo pairing had a tough night, combined -5. The team only won 38.5% on the dot. Not great. And Kyle Palmieri just scored a natural hat trick. Too much space in the first one. Lowry can't close in time on the wall. Not really his fault, but kind of caught between defending the middle of the slot or the neutral zone rather, and trying to close down Palmieri. Tough position to be in. Just can't make the play. Unfortunate. The second one on the power play, no one has anything to do to stop it. That is not what you like to see. Third one, Lowry is tied up with Anders Lee, and they just let Ryan Pulock walk in, take a shot, create that rebound for that third goal. Natural hat trick, complete chaos. Not great. Really tough game to watch. Angry game. I was very angry at times in this one. The Lee goal later in the game was just pretty, or the next period rather, was just horrible from start to finish. He also took Marchand down in like a pretty inadvertent looking collision on the other side of the play. Could have been called. I understand why it wasn't, though. Just something I noticed rewatching some highlights today. The Nelson goal, just a really, really bad turnover by Carlo behind the net. Uncharacteristic this year. Bing, bang, boom, ends up getting his own rebound. And then Mark McLaughlin gives you something to root for. Gets a little emergency call up and scores late, even in a 5-1 game for a guy that's been in Providence all year. He was understandably fired up. I don't have any problem with that. But just a horrible game, Ryan. Really, really bad.
Yeah, I didn't watch this one. I'm glad I didn't, or I didn't catch it
Good.
because obviously
Yeah,
I was doing
good.
other things. But that was kind of the consensus I saw on across social media was that this was one you did not want to watch because it was one of those, rare Bruins games where they have bad nights, but there's been a couple this year where they just flat out don't show up, and that was one of them. From
Yeah, it
again, from
comes
what I
down
could see.
to, in this game, pace too. Like, you could tell they were slow early. Like, oh no, like, it's the Islanders, though. Beatable team. Hopefully they figured it out. They just didn't. The pace was bad all night. chaotic defensive zone play, not a good formula. Against a team, the Islanders are really trying to, with their new coach, secure a playoff spot here. That's going to be a little difficult for them, I think. Toronto, a couple nights ago, 4-1 win, statement win. Get said you watched this one. I got to be honest. Like, Toronto playing great. Bruins going to their home barn, and they fuck it up. Just felt right. Swayman played fantastic, which doesn't hurt. Made 32 of 33, stopped 32 of 33 shots, outshot the Leafs 33 to 27. Pastrnak and Geeky are really getting something going. They've had moments this year, but lately they've been getting something going here. So that's something to monitor. Geeky just gets better and better and better. I literally said it the night he got the hat trick. He made a couple plays before. It might have been after the goal. It might have been after the first goal, actually. I said Geeky just keeps getting better and better in one of my group chats. He scores a hat trick, and now he just keeps scoring. So
He's
I
kind of
guess
turned
I
into this
called it.
year's Zaka, I feel like. Sorry to cut you off, but like I
No,
feel
no,
like they have
no.
very similar obviously Zaka, I want to say a higher draft pick. He was a first round draft pick, right? Geeky, obviously not as much pedigree as Zaka maybe had coming out of the draft. But I feel like similar players. Zaka obviously was a surprise last year. Geeky was one of those guys this year bring in. You're like, all right, this guy's just gonna be a filler guy for a year or two. He's been good. He's been very, very good and really no complaints out of what I've seen from him.
Yeah, I love Geeky. He keeps getting better. Speaking of Zaka, that's a couple in this game. Starting to break that scoring slump. He's got like three in his last two or something like that. Looks a lot better lately. Not a great collective effort on the Tavares goal. Got to be honest, didn't love that, but it's 4-1 win. You're not going to get too bogged down about that. And we saw a little vintage DeBrusk in this game, which is good for his trade value. He might be on
Boost
the
that
move.
trade value for sure.
What that trade value is, we'll get into a little later, but secondary assist on the first Zaka goal and a goal of his own. The DeBrusk goal is great. Good clean zone entry from Marchand and Coyle over to DeBrusk, and that shooting touch we know he's had in the past. A nice statement win against a team that was hot. They really were. So good road win. Nothing really much to add, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else, like storylines or nothing. But I wonder if Marner got a point actually, because they said like Marner had like some crazy home point streak against the Bruins. So I wonder if that continued. I didn't really look at the Leafs stats. They only scored one goal. Next night, don't know who the schedule makers are in particular, but a back to back against Toronto and Edmonton. With going from Toronto to Boston is kind of mean, personally. That's just me, just my opinion. They lose 2-1 in OT. Swayman stops 24 of 26. They get a shot 26 to 25. Another game not great on the dot. Only won 42.6% of draws. It's two games in a row though. They played Edmonton, and Edmonton has not scored a power play goal against the Bruins. So that's pretty nice. Watherspoon to Heinen to Zaka for a nice little hammer, a one timer. Zaka keeps it going. Parker Watherspoon lately been good overall for the season, but like he's had some tough moments lately, no doubt. Little bit caught in the spin cycle a couple times on the in the defensive zone, but overall don't mind the player still. Hyman trips Carlo on the first Draisaitl goal, which I didn't love, and they didn't call it, and of course some big ramifications because of how the game ended. The Bruins blow it though. That's really the big thing at the end. Great game for Swayman. And it's tarnished in a scrum in front of the net. Bruins can't clean it up. It's worst team to be in a situation like that against with Edmonton's high powered offense. McDavid eventually goes on to do McDavid stuff in overtime. Puts an absurd pass through some bodies and skates of the Bruins. Draisaitl scores. He's probably not missing in that type of scenario more often than not. Tough way to end it, but I have some optimism out of these games. We've seen some rough stretches in some of these chaotic games from Ullmark and Swayman, and I think overall they reeled it in pretty well these last two, which is nice because we're looking at a Swayman extension maybe by the end of the week. We'll talk about that later. And I mean, if you're going to keep Ullmark around or trade him, good starts increase that trade value a little bit. And if you keep him, just a little more confidence, and you're winning games a little easier, hopefully. It's really that simple. Any other takeaways from anything you read or saw from that past week of games, Ryan.
No, just the main stuff. I mean, last night again, it has all the feel of, as soon as that goal goes in, whether it was a trip or not, like you said, you could very well argue it. But the inevitable, it's coming. Like you can't be giving opportunities to a team like Edmonton when you have, like you said, McDavid and Draisaitl on that side. You're pretty much only delaying the inevitable at that point, going into overtime with those two guys on the ice. Again, you'd like to see it cleaned up, and I don't want to sound like I'm just dumping all over this team here because they've had a good year, but like again, they've had some good games here and there, but again, it's just not a stretch that I'm building all that confidence in because the same thing continues to rear its ugly head and just not being able to close out these games here and there. And like I said last week, like you start getting into the playoff mode here and get into the playoffs, like those are mistakes that you're going to get bounced in the playoffs pretty damn early if you can't figure it out. So you hope they can find a way. Maybe that's with a trade or not. But like I said last week too, I don't know if there's a guy out there that fixes the mental problems that it seems like this team has right now. Maybe Hanifin would have been that guy, would have helped. But obviously, as we said, that's off the table now. So it'd be interesting to see, and I'm sure you'll get into it here in a second, what direction, if they do decide to go in, do they pivot to?
Yeah, it's tough to get an exact read because we've seen them linked to certain players, but Sweeney kind of works in silence at times, sometimes not. Like the Orlov and Hathaway trade, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. But then you have trades like Taylor Hall where he's forcing his way to Boston. So it's been a tough read, tough, situation, different situation with the team, and obviously a different mindset when you don't have, Bergeron and Krejci anymore. You're kind of building around them. Now you're kind of looking to upgrade the center position or winger or even a defenseman. There's a lot going on. So, coming up, Toronto, another one of those teams that feels like they played 45 times in the last month. They get them again tomorrow night. We know the drill with Toronto. They're third in the Atlantic, though. 78 points on the year. Pittsburgh, I will be at this game. Very excited. We'll probably see some new Bruins for the first time. Unless Don Sweeney does nothing. So, don't see that happening though. Pittsburgh, sixth in the Metro right now, 64 points, 28, 24, and 8. It'll be a different looking group. No two ways about it. We'll see who else they move besides Gensel and Riley Smith. I've heard Marcus Pedersen's name out there, but don't think they're super eager to trade him. One of those guys they would trade if the right deal came across. But that's a rough team right now in Pittsburgh. Got a lot of turmoil going on right now. Pretty uninspiring hockey. Then you get the Blues on the 11th, 32, 27, and 3. They're fifth in the Central Division. Robert Thomas having another great season. He's got 69 points in 62 games. And I noticed that 69 points is 21 points more than Pavel Buchnevich, who's missed two or three games. So there's quite a gap in scoring on St. Louis. Not a great squad this year.
You hate to see it.
Again, any notes on any of these teams coming up or the week as a whole? Leafs are tough. They're going to want revenge, but I think these next two after are pretty winnable.
That was going to be my mindset. You just hope that Toronto game is not a reversal of what it was a couple nights ago. Obviously, the Bruins beat them up in their barn. You hope it doesn't happen in this one. This, like you said, we've seen this before with the Bruins this season. Not that they've been a bad team, but like to say they get up for these games or they play up to their competition, again, not to say they're a bad team, but you know what I mean. Like these are the games they get up for, it seems like, and play pretty well. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, like you said, two struggling teams. You hope they don't take these nights off. And it seems like these are two teams that you maybe should be able to right some wrongs against or figure some of your problems out. So hopefully they're kind of a springboard for that type of games here.
Yeah, and maybe what they do with the deadline really inspires confidence, or maybe
That too,
a
yep.
guy, a big name kind of throws them for a loop for a second. It'd be interesting to see how they handle it out of the break. We know they'll to some degree wake up for this Leafs game. So I have heard they're out hanging out with Krejci tonight though, so I hope they get good rest. Little inside source from a friend.
Get some good vibes from that too.
Yeah, and Krejci did like a watch party or some sort of thing in Southie the other night after the Oilers game. So he's in town, probably hanging out with the boys, going out to get some dinner. So that's what I've heard from boots on the ground. The trade deadline, though, Ryan. Sean Walker, a guy I loved for the Edmonton Oilers. Colorado just swooped in and took him today, straight up. They got aggressive in pretty short time. They got two big deals done pretty quickly. Since last week, we saw Ilya Lyubushkin go back to Toronto. Nothing crazy there. A little bit of double retention. See Curtis McDermott add some toughness to a Devils team that definitely needs it. And to start the craziness, things got a little crazier after this, slowly but surely. Anthony Manta at 50% retained goes to Las Vegas for a second in 2024 and a fourth in 2026. I believe there's some conditions as well. I'm actually going to switch over to Cap Friendly here because they have the conditions for these trades listed. Let's go back here. Scroll down to Manta. There it is. No conditions on the pick in that one. I wanted to check though. Vladimir Tarasenko earlier today, great fit. Had trade protection, so maybe this affected the return they were able to get. Probably picked his spot to Florida. Goes to Florida, 50% retained for just a conditional fourth in this year's draft and a 2025 third from Florida themselves. The condition on the conditional pick is it upgrades to a 2026 third if Florida wins the cup. So not great. I think they could have got a second if they waited, but Tarasenko forcing his way to Florida might have affected what they were able to get in return because Florida does not have a lot of draft picks. Next up, Sean Walker. I was hoping to be right about this one. I did a little TikTok yesterday. Go check that out. I was hoping this was the one I had the most likely odds of getting right. I will see where Jake Guentzel ends up and Brandon Duhaime. Go watch that TikTok and follow and like as well. Sean Walker goes to Colorado for along with a fifth round pick in 2026, actually, for Ryan Johansson, who's being waived, understandably so, $4 million. Do the Flyers really need him? And if I remember correctly, him and John Tortorella didn't love each other in
Shocker.
Columbus. So I don't know. I don't know all the details, though. I'm not going to act like I have all the information, but I feel like I heard that in the past before he was traded. Remember back in the day, people who don't know, he was traded for Seth Jones straight up. That was a pretty wild trade at the time.
You're telling me you don't have boots on the ground in Philadelphia to get that info for you
I
like you
do
do?
not. I do not. I do
Okay.
have friends in Philadelphia, but not friends that are that close to the organization, to my knowledge.
Gotcha. All right.
A 2025 first. So Colorado keeps their 2024 first. I don't know if they'll be trading at this rate. They made a couple big moves today. They might be done. But I'll talk about another move they could make in a little while. That first round pick is top 10 protected. I don't think they'll have to worry about that. The Colorado Avalanche are pretty good. This was part two. Adrian Dater, after the trade, tweeted that he thinks Bowen Byram could be shopped. And about 5 minutes later, Bowen Byram was sent to the Buffalo Sabres for Casey Mittelstadt. In a one-for-one good old hockey trade. This trade is going to be fascinating to watch for both sides. Bowen Byram hasn't quite materialized the way they've wanted to. He's also dealt with some pretty significant issues with concussions and stuff. Maybe a change of scenery helps him, but a guy that has all the offensive potential in the world just hasn't quite put the game together completely. It's a fun defensive core there, one that, is developing in Buffalo, but he joins a fun group of defensemen with Dahlin, Power, and Samuelson. Carter Clifton, old friend, having a rough year. But Casey Mittelstadt didn't seem like a guy that was bound to stay with the Sabres long term. So the Avalanche turn Ryan Johansson and why am I forgetting the other name here? So yeah, the Avalanche end up with Walker and Mittelstadt and give up Johansson and Byram. Pretty good stuff by extension there. Things kept on getting crazy here. We saw Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, along with the rights to goalie prospect Ty Taylor, going to Edmonton in exchange for a first round pick from Edmonton and a conditional fifth. The fifth becomes a fourth if Edmonton wins the cup in 2025. Adam Henrique, for some reason, got double retention here from Tampa. This is what kind of told me that Tampa was not going to get Hanifin, because why would they retain a
Okay.
bunch of money on Adam Henrique when they don't have a lot of cap
Yeah, it
space?
doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because they probably didn't like their odds. And we know Tampa's given up some draft picks. They got a draft pick for their trouble, a conditional fourth that becomes a 2026 fourth if Edmonton wins the cup. So pretty wild trade. I think it's a perfect 3C addition for Edmonton. It gives them a guy that wins a lot of faceoffs as well. This could be dangerous for them. I still think they need a defenseman, and they have picks to do so if they really want to. And Sam Carrick's a good physical fourth liner, some depth for the playoffs. I like that deal a lot. Sure, you can make the case that that's a lot for Adam Henrique, but you got to get to get. I'm not gonna like chirp the Oilers that much. We knew that that pick was gonna be on the move for someone. It just happens to be Henrique and not a defenseman because they missed out on Sean Walker, who I'm still a little bummed that I didn't get that trade prediction right. I felt good about that one the most. And last, outside of the Hanifin trade, which we don't have confirmed yet, Alexander Wennberg, a guy linked to the Bruins, going to the New York Rangers at 50%. This one I kind of nailed. I said Avalanche or Rangers when they started taking him out of the lineup, so I'm half right there. Just feels nice to win one, like Kevin Malone said.
Yep.
Kind of win one. Wennberg linked to the Bruins. Not a guy I was like chomping at the bit for, but for the right price, I would have taken. Not a guy I'm super compelled to give up a second and a fourth for, though. I'm okay with them holding off on that. Not a crazy overpay or anything, but if they're going to give up draft picks with an already depleted draft pick system, I'd rather throw it towards another player. They get a 2024 second from the Rangers, and they get Dallas's 2025 fourth. NHL trade conditions, they're kind of like second round picks at the deadline of the NBA, just keep getting funnier.
Just
The condition follows a previous trade on this pick. If Nils Lundqvist, who was this pick was acquired by the Rangers in that trade, which they sent him to Dallas, if he earns 55 cumulative points over the 2022-23 season and 2023-24 seasons in the regular
you've already
season,
lost me.
the pick upgrades to a 25 third from Dallas. So yeah. NHL trade conditions are just getting
That makes you
funnier.
wonder who on the staff is coming up with these things. Like, I feel like I just picture some guy like in a corner somewhere writing down all these possibilities. And hey, what do you got for us on a condition for this pick? He just pulls off like six different sticky notes from a giant whiteboard. You can get this, 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 and this if you want to try to figure this thing out for us. Like, it's a great comp though. The second round picks for the NBA because we know those fly around like they're going out of style. So.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. The latest on Hanifin from David Pagnotta as they finalize the Hanifin trade word out of Vegas is that they aren't necessarily finished, could still add another forward by the deadline. Jake Guentzel, just saying, maybe I get one right. I don't know. It'll be tough. Obviously, the big thing right now is the Guentzel to Vancouver thing. Apparently, he wants to go there too. And then Lindholm to Boston. And maybe this actually segues us very well into a recent tweet from Kevin Weeks that is talking about what a lot of Bruins fans I feel like are thinking right now, which is involving Jake DeBrusk in a three-way deal with the whole Lindholm and Guentzel stuff yesterday of Chris Johnson reporting that they could flip Lindholm to Boston to help make this Guentzel thing happen. Hasn't necessarily worked out super well in Vancouver for Lindholm. He could have been some Pettersson insurance. I've seen that made, and now they've got that point made. Now they have Pettersson locked up. So maybe they want to, get aggressive to try to get Guentzel, put Guentzel as a legit scorer on Pettersson's wing, really load up that top six. It's not imminent from what it sounds like, but the fact that this became like a popular suggestion on the internet, I heard Ty Anderson talk about it on the Sports Hub Underground, and now Weeksy's tweeting it out. I don't really see him tweet out like hypotheticals very much. Maybe there's something to it
There's
right
some
now.
smoke to this, yeah.
Because we talked about it a little bit with Hanifin, like leveraging DeBrusk for Hanifin. Like, sure, you're getting a guy that complicates your financial picture if you're giving Hanifin a ton of money next year, gives you a lot of money in your top four. That could be risky. DeBrusk for Lindholm, though, if they decide to keep Lindholm, I hope to God it's not a $9 million like he wants. That would make me apoplectic. It's too much money. He's hardly worth seven the way he's playing. He needs to hop off that high horse. If you're not going to keep DeBrusk, and maybe even Lindholm is a rental somehow, like if the extension doesn't work, whatever, that's better than losing DeBrusk for nothing. If he helps you get center depth, maybe Lindholm
True.
ends up being that guy. At least gets you to the second round, like a competitive second round series. That's not the worst, but we've known for a while that Sweeney is very interested. And I'm signing Lindholm. I hope to God it's not nine. That would be so awful. He's, like I
That'd
said, he's
be,
hardly
yeah.
worth seven, in my opinion, right now. It's just too much. But you got to start high, work your way down if you're negotiating a contract, especially with a team you apparently didn't actually feel this way, probably didn't want to play for long term. He kind of put cold water on that. But interesting. I don't think this trade would be Guentzel, Lindholm, DeBrusk, and that's it. I imagine there'd be some retention here and there. Some draft picks, maybe prospects, maybe lower salaried roster players. I don't know. that trade could get wacky. And the Penguins want it done tonight. It's not a guarantee, though. They want it done, not a guarantee. We'll see what happens. I
It will
think, you know,
happen 2 minutes after we get done here, knowing our luck.
yeah, and I wonder too, you know, Gensel's going to cost around 9 million. He's going to cost a lot of assets. He's going to cost a first, a good roster player, a really good prospect, and maybe another pick in a trade. Do you look at potentially trading Riley Smith? Probably going to happen in Pittsburgh. And almost definitely trading Jake Gensel. That's going to happen. Like, do you look at DeBrusk on a long-term deal if you like him, or like a 4-year deal somehow, as a guy that's like, okay, this gives us another winger. Maybe we put him with Crosby and he tears it up. Like, that's like a similar Bergeron effect. Like, Marchand and Bergeron with DeBrusk really maximized DeBrusk last year. What if, obviously, they won't have Gensel to put on that opposite wing, but maybe they put DeBrusk on the left with Crosby and Rust. Like, that'd be pretty good. I think DeBrusk would do
It's not a
really well
terrible
there.
pairing, yeah.
No. I think there could be some legs to that. And some way, somehow, whether it's something like this or like you find another team that has a comparable forward or a good defenseman, the trade straight up for Jake DeBrusk, kind of in a similar vein to the Mittelstadt Byram deal, like a 1-for-1 hockey trade. Might be tough, but it's possible.
Something to
I
keep
like
in
the idea
mind.
of it. Something to keep in mind. Where are you at on Lindholm? The idea of adding a guy like him. Great defensive zone faceoff guy, I will say, that
I'll take
affects your
that then
analysis.
with
He
the
can
defensive
win.
struggles.
Yes, they need
You
defensive
sold
zone
me on that.
faceoffs. In the Selke race at times in the past with Bergeron, not really as great the last 2 years. Those big trades in Calgary, you know, losing Gaudreau, trading Tkachuk, that's definitely affected, you know, his quality of line mates and affected his performance. But how do you feel about Lindholm slotting him in with Zacha on the left and like Pasternak would be pretty money? Then you run like Marchand, Coyle, and Frederick or something.
Yeah, I don't hate it for the reason that you said of like, if you're not going to get it, if you're going to lose DeBrusk in the offseason, like, I'd rather you have the chance to get something back from him in return if you can retain Lindholm, like you said. But I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm just so indifferent with this. Like, the stats don't jump off the page by any means, but you wonder if he's like, maybe change the scenery type of thing, gets him going a little bit. So, and again, like you said, you can never have too much center depth. So I don't hate it. Again, mainly if you get some defensive help. Like you said, he's a good defensive zone faceoff guy. And then if you can get something, if DeBrusk is just going to walk in the regular in the offseason anyway, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to, go too crazy one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty reasonable line of thinking to be in. Other news, like Omark could end up in New Jersey. I think New Jersey's still trying to go after Markstrom after being shot down. You gotta make a move for Omark, like a serious one. They have young players they can move. Ryan, I'll just say this. I'm not counting on it. If the Bruins got Seamus Casey from Michigan in a deal for Linus Omark.
I don't know who that is, but you seem excited, so I'll take your excitement and roll with it.
Oh God,
Are you saying it's like
my
a
goodness.
steal of a trade there? Yeah? Okay.
So New Jersey is the best fit for Ullmark right now. I still have my doubts about the Bruins trading him. I'm gonna recheck on their picks here, see what they have for picks. I wonder because the Timo Meier trade last year. They do have the
I
next
just
three
think
firsts.
you
If
have
they're
to at this
desperate
point. He's your
enough,
best asset.
if they're
Like,
desperate enough, you could get a first. You have the leverage with a team like New Jersey, if he's willing to go there, you know, Omar can block a trade. New Jersey needs one bad, and they fired Lindy Ruff. Travis Green is not really helping things so far, still stapling a guy like Alex Holtz to the fourth line, not helping his development. Good player needs to play more. And Alexander Holtz, Ryan, is another guy I like. Former very high draft pick a few years ago, in pretty shitty minutes a lot of the year, is having a pretty decent season. Has always been one of those younger guys that, like, he makes one mistake and he's fucked, it seems, which happens in New Jersey sometimes. I saw someone else throw this out. I saw a couple people throw this out. Again, Ty Anderson pumping the guy's tires also said this: a package of Holtz and ginormous defenseman. I believe he's 6'6", 23 years old. Kevin Ball, left shot defenseman. Holtz, Kevin Ball, and like a second round pick. Then like you throw a conditional pick in just for
Sold.
fun. Because I don't think the Bruins are going to get a first. Like, New Jersey would have to be like, oh my God, please, fine. Like, we'll do it. We'll give you our first and we'll give you Kevin Ball or something. Like, whatever. If you can get a first for Linus Ullmark, you should be happy, even just straight up. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. Yep.
I say sorry because I remember some Bruins fans saying that like a first round pick or a second round pick in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins wasn't enough in the summer. Like, come on, let's be real.
That's insane.
It's fucking insane. And Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a preposterously reasonable contract, which helps as well. I think you got to do it if you can with New Jersey. I don't really see any teams, other teams. Maybe Omark goes to LA, but we haven't heard any links there. They have a lot of young players they could be willing to move as well. I like the idea of it, but in the end, if I had to make my prediction, I think Linus Ullmark stays put. I think, they built up this goaltending rotation for so long. They're going to give it one last shot. They have to know somewhere in the back of their mind that Ullmark is probably not on this team next year. Give him one last go. It's a strength of the team. You don't have that forward strength that you've had in the past with Bergeron and
Fair.
Krejci. Your defense has been wobbly. I don't see it. They're also missing Lindholm, so that's part of the reason the defense has been a little crazy too, even though Lindholm is horrible at defending the slot all of a sudden. I've said that before. I still maintain that thought. That's where I'm at Ullmark. I feel like we're in the same line of thinking. Alec
Now, see, I
Lundberg.
would.
Yeah, go
If
ahead.
there's a deal to move him, I'm moving him at the deadline because I don't know how much longer. I'm not, when I say you, I don't mean you specifically. I mean the Bruins. I don't know how much longer you can, if you're the Bruins, sit there and think of, what his trade value. I feel like every day, every month you wait, his trade value goes down. Like again, I wasn't chomping at the bit to trade him last year. Like so, when I say this, don't get the people listening, don't get me wrong, that I was like, oh, how could you not move on from Ullmark last year? But let's be honest, the guy's value is never higher than it, or is never going to be as high as it was coming off of a Vezina Trophy season. So if you were going to move him, you probably should have done it last offseason. But we talked about that. Like, how realistic is that deal? What are you going to get back? Is it going to be enough for a goaltender? And we talked about that nonstop. If you can move him, especially now with what we're going to get into in a second, I haven't seen anything. So this is news to me about the news to me about the Swayman extension. But if you extend him, I don't see how you can keep Ullmark around. Both goaltenders having decent contracts. Like, I feel like it's going to handcuff you. So if you have a deal at the deadline, especially like you said, if New Jersey gets desperate, like what time's the trade deadline tomorrow? 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock,
It's Friday.
or Friday, excuse me. Whatever the time, like if it gets down to like the last couple of minutes and they are in desperation mode looking for a goalie and they come calling, and they're willing to overpay for Ullmark, I don't know how you can turn that down if you're the Bruins. Like Swayman, as we've seen, has been good enough to ride throughout the rest of the season. I know everyone likes the goalie tandem and everything and thinks that's going to work forever, it seems like. If you can move him for something of value, I would do it now. I'm not putting it off any longer. And like I said, I like the guy. Don't get me wrong. He's been great here. But if you can get a deal that makes sense, I think you'd do that in a heartbeat if you're the Bruins.
And you also wonder about it, throwing off the vibe of the team a little bit, but it's going to happen at
True.
some
Yep.
point.
That might derail
And it
some
also
things.
comes down to, like, why didn't they just do it after he won a Vezina if they're just going to do it now when they could have got a first round pick
Fair,
almost
yeah, it's a fair way to
undoubtedly?
look at it.
But then, you're going into like an uncertain Swayman situation. He's coming in on a 1 year bridge deal this year, so it made sense to hold on to him.
True.
If you trade him in the offseason, gives the team some time to process it, tough reality of the sport. I just don't know if they're going to do it. But if they got this is the player on the team and one of the players in the league, and it's like kind of like Saros when they were shopping him around a little bit in Nashville. Like, we'll trade him if we get blown away, but if we don't, we're not going to. So
Yep, that's fair.
that's where I'm at with Ullmark. I don't think he'll be moved. Other notes, Alexander Wennberg sat out 2 games for trade protection to not get hurt. He's off to New York, as we said. I love the idea of Henrique and Vetrano in New York. That's not happening, obviously, now either. And Vetrano wants to stay. I get it. Anaheim's a bad team, but he's finding a lot of success there. They got a young core worth getting excited about. Guy's moved a few times in his career, too. Maybe he just wants a permanent home, and playing in California must not suck, especially going from a guy that grew up in like Western Mass to playing in California. Pretty
That's a
nice
pretty
change of
nice
pace.
upgrade there.
What do we have here? The other thing of Lindholm that I almost forgot somehow, but luckily I had in the outline, Lindholm was going to be cheaper. Like, he's not costing you a first round pick, a top defensive prospect, a medium tier defensive prospect, and other pieces. Like, there's a case, like, maybe you get Lindholm for like a second round pick, a B prospect, and something else. I really think that's possible. People might think that's crazy. Maybe they still get a first. It's not happening for the Bruins, I don't think.
Yeah, no way.
So maybe they're like, that's another thing, leverage. Like, it seems like the Bruins are the only team that can make this work right now, or are going to make it work if it happens. So Sweeney'd be like, Oh, you want a first round pick? Oh, you like Fabian Lysell? Like, you guys are kind of
Too
fucked. So,
bad.
like, how about
Yeah.
not? How about no? Like, they like Fabian Lysell. He played in Vancouver. They like their Swedes. They got Jonathan Lekkerimäki. They got Elias Pettersson locked up. They drafted Tommy Vilander. He's a BU Swedish kid. They like their Swedes. I believe Nils Höglander might be Swedish as well. He's playing in this year. Couple other notes. Colorado. Some people think Colorado might be done. I'm still looking at them to add a backup goalie. There's been some links with them and Jake Allen in Montreal. Montreal's not super eager to trade Jake Allen, but it's another guy, not like Ullmark. Like, if Colorado gets really desperate, like, we need him as our backup, we'll give you a good return. I can see Montreal doing it. Probably going to hold on to him, though. I also like Kaapo Kähkönen, not the Rangers forward, but the San Jose Sharks goalie, who's having a pretty decent season despite being on a horrible team. They've had Ivan Prosvitov in the backup. Paolo Francouz is not healthy. I think they've had Justus Annunen up as well, who's a goalie prospect of theirs. Get that backup. Get a cheap backup if you're Colorado. One more cheap small piece. I'm looking for them to maybe add a backup goalie. On Hanifin, I kind of, like I said earlier, when they were retaining money as a third party broker, I was kind of like, wait, maybe this isn't working. Maybe they're just trying to get some draft capital for taking a little bit of money. They were in on Hanifin. Detroit and Florida were into it on him and open to an extension. New Jersey, Boston, Vegas were in the mix, and Vegas ends up landing him. Actually, I should check. I don't know how long the details are going to take to come out because this is an extension contingent trade. It looks
I've
like
been looking. I
so.
haven't seen anything
Oh, we have
pop
some
up, so.
NFL breaking news. I don't know if you
Oh.
saw the one with the Bills. If you want to look at it, we'll talk about it once we get to that. And as of lately, Tyler Toffoli is in play. They're open to a return in the way of multiple picks or a pick and a prospect. Tom Fitzgerald said yesterday they don't want to trade him, looking to extend him. But it might get to that point. They can't do it. Someone blows them away with an offer for Tyler Toffoli. In a turbulent season for the Devils, maybe they'll just do it. I don't know. We'll see. I got a little distracted by the football news that dropped, but we'll talk about that later. St. Louis, they're willing to retain up to 50% on one of the top scorers in the market, Pavel Buchnevich. 2 years left on his deal, including this one. Great player. Another one of those guys and a forward, though. I don't know how eager they're going to be to trade him, but like if somebody offers them like a first and a really good prospect and another piece, and they retain 50% and they're comfortable with that, I could see him doing it. Kind of a guy I'm like 40, 60 on, like 40% yes, 60% no. But they would be wise to trade him if they get an awesome offer. And Toronto has checked in on Capitals defenseman Joel Edmondson. So he's not very good, but that's okay. Toronto, they kind of like bad defensemen. So,
Just gonna say that. They tend to like their sucky defensemen from what I remember.
yeah, like Ilya Lyubushkin, who they got, is just straight up not a good hockey player. He just hits and blocks shots. Bruce Garriott from Ottawa had an interesting point that he wonders if Danny Briere and Philly could parlay some of these assets they got for Sean Walker into a Jacob Chychrun trade. So I'm wondering about that. I kind of have my doubts whether Chychrun gets moved because of that new contract he has, and he's only been there for a year. But it's a guy like, I don't know, the right deal. Maybe you do it. I just want to check. What is Chychrun's deal? Oh, he hasn't signed an extension. Excuse me. So he's got this year and next at 4.6. So that's different. I thought he signed an extension too with Sanderson in the offseason. So that's interesting. Don't know if it'll happen. That might be a summer thing. I don't know if that materializes quick enough to get done Friday. That'd be a tough deal. A lot of details to hammer out there, I imagine. A Swayman extension. He could get 7 million. I'm not super comfortable with 7 million for a guy who hasn't been a full-time starter. But if it has to happen, that contract could age very well. Salary kept going up. I'm not super opposed to it. But sounds like it could happen by the end of the week. There's been some rumblings out there. Rasmus Sandin stays in Washington for another 4 years at $23 million. So over 5 years, or maybe it's five. Either way, 4 or 5, whatever. $4.6 million a year for him. Pretty reasonable. A little bit of growing pains playing on the top pairing, but I like that deal. I think that's going to age pretty well for Washington. And Nick Seeler, a guy who quit hockey 2 years ago. 4 years, $10.8 million extension with the Philadelphia Flyers. The guy that could have been moved. Pretty awesome story. It turned into a pretty good defensive defenseman. We've seen him fight before. That's a Philly defenseman through and through to me. The fact that he got 4 years, a little surprising. But the money is right. I think they were looking at 3.5 million. One report said they got him at 2.7. So either that was a bad report, or Danny Breer struck gold and got that asking price down. So that's interesting. Swayman extension. I talked about 7 million. Jeremy Swayman on a $7 million a year extension. You like it? You love it? Or do you not like it?
I'm fine with it. Again, if that's the price, that's the price. Like, the question I had for you on him, and if I can't remember if myself, maybe you remember when they were in contract talks with him this past offseason, was he the guy? I can't remember if it was him or DeBrusk. Was he the one that kind of was vocal about like the process basically, like he said, sucked? So that's to hear that he, I mean, not that there was like a whole lot of bad blood or anything like that, but I mean, when you do hear that, there is maybe some concerns that, all right. If they're lowballing the guy, maybe he's not going to appreciate that. So to hear that there's an extension coming, and like you said, probably going to get done by the end of the week, that's good. To me, not that, again, that there was any maybe animosity toward, from Swayman towards the Bruins or anything like that with how badly things apparently went when they were talking contracts this past offseason. So that's good to see. Look, everyone will always talk about, guys being overpriced here and there. But again, when we talk about it with baseball, we talk about it with anything. That's the price of the position and the player. I can't argue against it. The guy has proven himself this year. Like you said, there is a good thing that you bring up, a concern of not, being a full-time starter. Maybe there's some concerns there, but he's still young. I think he's got plenty of time to kind of grow into that role still. And again, he's been fine with the workload he's been given this year, so I can't complain.
Yeah, and I think Swayman's value is closer to 6.5. Are you really gonna nitpick on 500K with a guy that didn't love the
Exactly.
process? I
Yep.
don't think you should. Like I said, the cap's gonna go up unless Swayman's production goes like this, or stats rather. I don't know if production is the right word for a goaltender, but I don't think you can nitpick about that. Make the guy happy. Like, number one, goaltenders are hard to find. Luckily for your organization, in
Yeah,
the last
absolutely.
20 years or so, they haven't been.
Yeah,
But
so you
like,
can continue to define them
continue,
here and there,
yes.
like.
Continue to make this a good thing for your organization. Make the guy happy. Sign a pen and paper. Get it done. A couple other names I like. I'll leave you guys with some names. I like Jake DeBrusk to move. I hope Matt Grizzlick is gonna move. I don't think he will. Just is what it is. I think a guy like Jakub Lauko could be traded. I think Johnny Beecher could be traded. A couple lower end guys, maybe change of scenery type thing gives Beecher an opportunity. Maybe it helps them get a trade done for a player they really like. Players I like besides Brandon Duhaime, I've talked about him. I like Nick Dowd in Washington. I like Joel Edmondson as like a seventh defenseman, maybe inside in an over forward every once in a while. Not a great player though, but doesn't make a lot of money. Like, I think he'd be a good cost effective option. Also, Dowd and Edmondson in Washington made a trade with them last year, so you got some recent contact. Who's some other guys I like? There was one name just like right at the top of my head that I'm forgetting. I'll tell you one I don't like in the meantime. Matt Dumba. Matt Dumba's been linked to the Bruins. I don't think he's very good anymore. If they retain 50% in Arizona, he's down to like 1.95 or something. I don't like that. Like, Matt Dumba doesn't really do it for me unless he's super cheap. Sam Carrick was a guy I liked too. He's off the market. Sean Walker, they were in on. He's off the market. Tarasenko, I forgot to mention this earlier. Love that pickup for Florida. That team's just juice, and you add a guy like Tarasenko who can just finish. It's a really fun add for them to a team that's already got Sam Reinhart and Barkov going off. Really good team. Could see them adding a defenseman. I still like Jake Middleton. I'll put it out there while we're talking about Minnesota earlier too. Still like Jake Middleton. Not seeing his name out there a lot though, and his contract is super friendly. So I don't know if the Bruins have the ammo or willingness to do that. I like Duhaime though. I like the name Brandon Duhaime a lot. It just feels right. Adds a bruiser. Guys hits a lot, fights. I don't know. Connor Dewar on that fourth line there could happen as well. Pat Maroon. I don't know if that's happening anymore. He's recovering from back surgery, so don't know if you're wanting a 35-year-old with a lot
Yeah,
of tread on
probably
the
not.
tires at 35. Are there any names that stick out to you, Ryan? I'm honestly curious. Like, that
Not
you've read
really, because to
about.
be honest, I haven't really heard a whole lot other than what you've been talking about. So nothing. Every NHL trade deadline, I kind of just, unless, like you said, it was last year and you had Taylor Hall basically begging to be on the Bruins. I mean, that obviously gets your attention.
2 years, yeah.
But a couple years, yeah, thank
Yeah.
you. I don't know why I thought it was last year. Especially even when you said last year was the Hathaway and Bertuzzi dread deadline, so I got those confused. And really, any trade deadline for me, just kind of in sit back, wait and see. Move if they do something, they do something. If they don't, they don't. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, there isn't really a standout. Like, obviously, Hanifin was the standout name. He's gone now. So again, for me, it's kind of just all right. See if they do something. If they don't, like I said, I think it was last week. I'm not for the Bruins making any sort of massive like trade a first round draft pick for somebody, which I don't think they'll do anyway now that Hanifin's gone. So if they're gonna make a move, make a hockey trade. Maybe trade a lesser end prospect for somebody that you feel like is a good fit here. And try to improve your team that way. Other than that, like I'll just kind of take your Red Sox approach and go with the wait and see attitude.
Yeah, that's fair. One I forgot to mention, Jordan Eberle could move, but it looks like, despite not lots of talks, that he wants to stick in Seattle and they want to keep him. Jack Roslovic is a name. Maybe in Columbus they retain 50%. You get him at $2 million. Play center, can play wing. Riley Smith, I'm okay with a Riley Smith reunion, but that's another one. Have to be 50% retained. I think he could be a good right winger for Marchand and Coyle. Alexander Carrier, they've been linked to him. I don't know how strong that link was. I saw it kind of like more so maybe a speculative thing a few weeks ago. I love Alexander Carrier. Doesn't seem like a guy they're dying to move though. So maybe they do if they like an offer. I like Anthony Duclair. Max Pacioretty, I like the player. Too much. He's old and has injury concerns though. Like when he gets hurt bad too. I'd rather not take that risk. I do like Anthony Duclair though. $3 million
Duclair would
bucks.
be a good one.
What's up? Yeah, I
I said
like Duclair
Duclair would
too.
be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably move. He actually changed agents. I wonder what sparked that. Maybe it's a lot, looking forward to hopefully signing a long-term deal. He's a UFA. Don't love the Pacioretty idea. David Savard's out there. I don't think they would do that. Warren Fogle, maybe that happens from Edmonton as a winger. They've been linked to him in the past. Just reading down some other names, looking at the trade bait board. Arthur Kaliev or Oliver Wahlstrom look like the two change of scenery guys. I kind of wonder, since I don't know where Adrian Kempe's health is at, but he got hurt recently, and they were apparently right after that looking for a winger. If you could trade DeBrusk for like Arthur Kaliev in a second round pick, I would do that.
Do it, yeah.
I like it. Kaliev, like, not the most intelligent hockey player from what I've seen, but the kid can fucking score, and they don't play him anymore. He's just not a lineup fit for them. So he needs a change of scenery bad. I tweeted about maybe a Kaliev for Wahlstrom trade with the Islanders. Maybe some picks involved. Maybe a Kaliev and a pick for DeBrusk is possible. Maybe Kaliev, Alexander Turcotte, and a pick. I don't know. Turcotte needs a change of scenery as well. His former fifth overall pick has not worked out. Andrew Peak is on this list in Columbus. Wouldn't hate that. 2 years at 2.75 per. I wonder if they retain it all. I don't really know though. Dominic Kubalik, don't love that. Brett Kulak, okay, but I don't know how if Edmonton's going to move him. They've also been linked to Jason Zucker, who might fetch a second round pick. I like Jason Zucker. Has some familiarity from way back in Minnesota with Coyle, so maybe they like that. But he play on the right in this scenario. Don't know how much he's played the right. Not super familiar with how much he's done that. Don't think it's a very frequent fit for him. But that's another name to watch, just to rattle off a few towards the end. I'm still liking Duhaime, and if it's a defenseman, I'm kind of leaning towards a guy like Joel Edmondson. Someone cheap, he'll cost you like a fourth or a fifth round pick. Yeah, I'm not expecting anything big, but more and more I think of it, I'm kind of expecting them to find some way to move DeBrusk, but I still have my doubts. Just trade
Any
Grizzly
thoughts?
too. Please
I was
trade
just going to
Grizzly.
ask about him. Any thoughts on Grizzlick or what's kind of his market right now?
Yeah, you have to trade one of the defensemen, I think, because you're like we've talked about it a lot. Like you're not going to keep Grizzlick in forward most likely. Forward's going to be very hard to trade. Grizzlick not having a great year, but there's enough there to like I said last week, a shelter third pairing role probably, but makes almost $4 million. So like that's kind of tough to trade. So that's kind of where my doubt lies. And obviously, dad works for the team, Boston kid. I think he's there just eventually going to lose him in the summer. I don't see them keeping him. But now they don't have the idea of Hanifin to replace him because the extension isn't official. But it might be. It might take some time, though. It might not happen like this week. It might take some time. But at the very least, we know there's some mutual interest in that long-term extension with Noah Hanifin and the Golden
Gotcha.
Knights. But I don't know. Guys, they could trade otherwise. I said Lauko and Beecher in the right deals. If some team wants Oscar Steen too, I'll throw that name in there too. Sent down recently, not having a great season, but if the right team likes him, even likes him as AHL depth, they give the kid a change of scenery. If somebody likes Zboril, they could do that. I don't think that's happening though. But that's just another off the board name. If somebody just wants some depth. That's it for the trade deadline though, as we eagerly await to see if this trade actually gets done with the whole Gensel Lindholm thing, but it's tricky and Pittsburgh wants to get it done, so maybe they make a hasty move and get it done tonight. Maybe they just wait till Friday. But doesn't always work how you want it. That's about it. Trade deadline Friday. My guess is Brandon
Why I
Duhaime.
thought it was Thursday.
I'm not going to say they're 100% getting Lindholm, but this whole development of Lindholm kind of makes me think they're going to get him somehow too. And if it's a three-team deal, it might not be. It might be a deal for these two, Gensel, and whoever. Could be two separate deals, rather. I just fumbled my words big time overthinking it there, but that's okay. Could be two separate deals. Could be a three-team deal. We'll see. Jake DeBrusk likely involved, I imagine, if it's three teams. Maybe that's how you get rid of Matt Grizzlick, though. Maybe Matt Grizzlick goes to
Okay.
Pittsburgh. I don't know. We'll see. If I'm right, you heard it here first. We'll check one more time to see if any more details came out here. It doesn't look like it. So let's switch to some hockey.
Celtics.
Or not hockey. Too much hockey in the brain. To
Excuse me, from
basketball.
hockey to hockey.
So yeah, here we go. Basketball. Celtics, tough loss last night. Even without
Very
Donovan
tough.
Mitchell, that stings. That was a tough game. Almost won the parlay. Didn't happen. Jason Tatum not going to help the people like using bullshit stuff against him for MVP. That fourth quarter performance was tough for the parlay, tough for the winning effort. Jaylen Brown not out there a ton in the fourth quarter. Didn't love that, to be honest.
That was kind of bizarre, yep.
Yeah, you mean you win in Dallas, you win heavily in Golden State, which somehow isn't even the craziest win of the year. I was at the craziest win of the year against the Pacers earlier in the year, where they dropped like 155.
What,
Then you
two of
lose to
three
Cleveland,
games
though.
they've beaten a team by 50 or more points, which is
They've
kind of
done it three
insane.
times this year,
Yeah.
the only team ever. So that's pretty crazy. Ryan, where are you at? I'm still kind of in a similar spot to like after that Philly game where we're talking about like the state of the team. A little bit concerning at times here, but overall, this team's just too powerful, too dominant, more often than not to really like get too concerned about it. But you know, if people have, you know, their concerns, as long as they're not insane crazy talk, I think they're
Yeah.
justified after a game like that a little bit.
It's a weird spot to be in because when you have, like you said, the Dallas game, you win 138 to 110. You have the Golden State game, you blow doors off that team really after the first quarter because I think it was 21-21 at one point. Then they went on there like 30 whatever to whatever it was run or whatever the point total was. You have that blowout win, as you said, you win by 50 plus, and then you have just an absolutely dreadful ending to that Cleveland game. You would think we might have like some crazy talk. Crazy thoughts, like you just said, or you maybe your thoughts on this team would sway one way or the other. And to me, they really didn't. Like this week, these last couple of games really haven't proven a whole lot. I know that's kind of been the talking point for a lot of people, and that's especially, you know, if you listen to Boston Sports Talk Media after the radio, rather, after the Golden State game, everyone was like, oh, how could you not, you know, say the Golden State game was a great win for the. It was a good win, but again, like you knew this team, as we talked about, was a wagon. You knew that against bad teams, and Golden State's been a kind of middle of the road team. They haven't been horrible, but definitely not the powerhouse that they've been in the past. The thing from the Golden State game is it was good to see the Celtics get up for that game because we've seen before when they play Golden State, you know, nationally televised game, Golden State tends to, you know, show their muscle a little bit, and, you know, they weren't 100%. I think Steph Curry was hurt going into that game. Klay Thompson got hurt in it, so they didn't really play the entire, I think, second quarter and then didn't play the rest of the game. It's a game that really didn't prove a whole lot to me for the Celtics, so I don't think that's too crazy to say. The Cleveland game, kind of the same thing. Like a game in the past where you might be, okay, they blew a 20-point lead. You know, They got their asses kicked by the likes of Dean Wade and Georges Niang in the fourth quarter. Yeah, not great to see, but I saw this morning an interview. They interviewed Porzingis in the locker room after the game, and he kind of said what I was thinking after the game. Like, the Celtics needed a game like this, in my opinion. Like, they were, as we just said, blowing teams out left and right. This was probably the closest game they've played, maybe since that Miami game right before the All-Star break, February 11th. They won 110 to 106. That was a good back and forth game, good test there. Of course, that was almost the Dolphins. The Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler in that game, but still, it's a team that you have a rivalry with. You go right down to the end of the game with toe to toe. This was similar. Again, the Miami game didn't have a 20-point lead blown in it. But Cleveland's a good scrappy team. They gave you a fight right to the end. Celtics obviously didn't rise to the occasion. Like you said, there were some questionable decisions late in the game. I'm with you. I thought Brown got back into the game a little too late for my liking in the fourth quarter. The end of the game execution, and Tatum said this too after the game, that he knows he probably should have went a little faster. But that was some of the worst game execution I've seen, or late game execution I've seen. Again, I'm surprised people aren't, burning him at the stake for this, but Joe Mazzulla put two timeouts in his pocket again at the end of the game. So maybe you get on him for that, but I think we've kind of moved past that. Scal even said it on the broadcast watching it last night. Like, I don't know if he knew the Celtics, or I don't know if the Celtics knew that they were down in that game, not tied. You can't be walking up the floor in that situation. So a lot of ugly things happen. You can maybe even argue, some ticky-tack calls at the end, the foul call getting overturned, stuff like that. I'm not going to harp on that too much because the Celtics did it to themselves. If you don't want that to happen, you don't want the game to be in the referee's hands late, don't blow a 20-point lead. But I've kind of rambled here. The main takeaway for me in that Cleveland game, like I said, and again, Porzingis said it in his interview, like that this team at times has maybe seemed like they felt like they are invincible. And again, you could rightfully argue that with how well they've played and how just well they've bludgeoned teams. This was a wake-up call I think they needed. They needed a team to give them some pushback and them to look in the mirror and kind of say, all right, we've played great this season. We've had pretty much everything go right for us. That does not mean teams are going to roll over and die when they get down 20 points. And like you said, Cleveland without their best player and Donovan Mitchell didn't have Max Strus, who's been excellent for them this year, who tends to give the Celtics fits. You knew they were going to play right down to the wire. They did, so give credit to them. But again, the game was ugly, but I think as good as a loss as you can have for the Celtics, because again, I think it was an eye-opener that, hey, we need to execute down the stretch. Now, I don't think this is going to sway their season one way or the other. Like, they're not going to have these, performances again that we've got on them before for being like, all right, you can't close out these games. What's the problem here? This is a little blip on the radar. It sucks. This is how the win streak ends. But again, I'll keep saying it. I think this is a loss they needed to have at some point. Again, sucks the way it went down, but I'm not going to get too high or too low these last couple of games because there's been some really great performances in it. And this one was, a stinker that maybe wasn't a long time coming, but you know what I mean? Like, again, I'll just keep saying it. Like, one that you kind of sit there and say, all right, that's a loss. You need to get out of the way to kind of get that, realization that, hey, we're not this maybe, this, I don't want to say this juggernaut because I know I just said this team's a wagon and everything, but like I said, you know what I mean.
Quick note for anybody who hasn't seen it, from the Hockey Talk, there is a third team retaining salary on Hanifin, so we'll see how that happens.
Okay.
They're gonna add another
Interesting.
forward too. It's gonna be crazy. They're gonna have space. Stupid. Yeah, like this is a good loss in a way. Like kind of like you were talking about the fact that no Donovan Mitchell and you still lose kind of stings, but you blew a lead. Like sometimes you do it. It's just about how you learn from it. And yeah, it was like, what was that? The Gabe Vincent game last year where he just randomly went off. Who was the random dude on like the Cavs or someone that went off? That's what the Dean Wade what game was. It might have been Gabe Vincent, I think, that went ridiculous. It was him or Strus that in the regular season was like unbeatable for
It
the
might have been Wade
Celtics.
again, but
I don't know. Like, he was some
that's the one thing
random
that
role
pisses you
player.
off about the game last night. If you really want to get like aggravated about something, is the realization or the non-realization of like, again, this isn't Donovan Mitchell or somebody like that, or even one of the two centers in Jared Allen who had a good game last night, or Evan Mobley. Like, it was Dean Wade that you were just letting absolutely cook you left and right. And Georges Niang, as we've seen with the Heat, has always tend to have these moments against the Celtics. Like, he's one of those guys, obviously, that gets up playing the Celtics. He steps up his performances in these games. Dean Wade's a good player. He's been good for the Cavs. You should not be letting him drop 20 plus points, whatever it was, in the fourth quarter alone last night. That's inexcusable. So if there's one thing you want to knock the Celtics for, other than obviously blowing the lead as big as they did, it's that, like, you need to figure it out at some point. And again, Scal on the broadcast said it, like, the defensive intensity was not good in that fourth quarter. Again, I think I'd rather have a loss like this though than them just not show up from the tip like we had. I can't remember what game it was earlier in the year. I don't know if it was the Denver game or one of the games that it was, again, prime time. Oh, it was the Milwaukee game after a back to back where they just didn't even show up and they were blown out by like 30 points and had the starters sitting in the entire second half. Those are the losses that you scratch your head and go, well, how do you not even show up for this game? This one, you lose focus late. This is something I
Yeah.
think you can fix that. And it wouldn't surprise me if I think they have. Is it Denver tomorrow night? That's obviously the big test. Like if they put a performance like this against Denver, then you're like, all right, like maybe the I'm not gonna say the championship pedigree isn't there, but like that's one of the ones you might want to look at. But again, I think this is a good loss to have. They'll come out of this one knowing obviously that they let it get away. Wouldn't surprise me if they come out with the fire under their ass against Denver tomorrow night.
I will say, I will give Tatum a little shit. He missed some really easy shots.
Oh, they all did. Brown, I think it was at one point where I was keeping an eye on that parlay we had, and Brown missed a layup like right at the basket, no one around him. I'm like, well, that's going to come back to burn us because that was 2 points you could have easily had there. So it was an off night for a couple of guys. Derek White, I don't think scored until the fourth quarter, so a rare off night from him. He was had a couple of really bad turnovers too. So again, like everybody lost focus at the end of that game, which you don't want to see happen, but it was bound to at some point. When you're playing as well as they are, like this was not going to continue. You're going to have a bad loss in here at some point. And again, I'm glad they get it out of the way here. And hopefully, again, it's an eye opener. Like I said, Porzingis obviously knows that it was. So you got to think the whole team kind of echoes the same thought process that he does, knowing that you let one slip away when you definitely shouldn't have.
Yeah, no, it can't happen again. It might, but like, it can happen because like you're gonna be fine. But just don't let it happen in the playoffs. You know, don't let it spiral. Don't let it
It'd be
snowball.
something if it happened in one of the like I think they have it's Utah and somebody else horrible at the end of this road trip. Like if it happened in one of those games, you'd be like, all right, like what are you doing? You should be able to put this team away. And maybe again, you could argue that without Cleveland having two of its better players, but again, you go toe to toe with the Cavaliers over a bad team that this a type of loss like this happens to. Again, it's not excusable. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm getting at here. Like it's. With how the seasons has gone, it's one of those. I feel like this is a loss you kind of just overlook, and you're like, all right, like yeah, things stunk, but you move on. You got to go up against two pretty good teams in Denver and Phoenix coming up. So get up for those games, get ready to go.
Yeah, not super worried about it long term. We'll see how it goes. Patriots, we're not gonna, get in, super into the draft, so far or at this point in the offseason, but we do have some free agency stuff to talk about and some stuff around the league. We had a draft rumor, from inside Jaden Daniels' camp, shot down from by one Jaden Daniels himself. We got
Good to
some other
see.
stuff. Ryan, would you like to get us going here?
Yeah, I thought because there was a lot that came out of the combine, so I thought I would try to very quickly run through each of these quotes and comments from Mass Live reporters Mark Daniels, Karen Grigian, and Chris Mason. I thought they did a really good job summarizing the latest Patriots rumors from the combine. So we'll take each of these one at a time, get your thoughts, get my thoughts, and then just kind of move on if that's how we want to do it. So I will start with the first one here and go on. So this first one talking about what the quarterback room could look like. It says, as a Patriot, seek a veteran quarterback to pair with a rookie. Some names we've heard are Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, and Joe Flacco. Of that group, Brissett seems the most logical, while Flacco is the most divisive, excuse me, among Patriots staffers. And then another part of that quote that I didn't have on the outline here was basically what you would think with Joe Flacco. The people that want him see him as a good veteran backup, a guy that's got some pedigree and postseason experience. Plenty of experience in the league, while on the flip side of that, you're obviously signing a 39-year-old backup quarterback, so or a guy that could potentially start if you want to have a rookie in there to get a couple of games under his belt. So where are you with these names? Anybody else that has kind of popped up quarterback wise? I know Russell Wilson obviously got released the other day. Obviously was not touched on in this article, but your thoughts on those three names that I mentioned, if any of them stand out to you?
Yeah, it's still Brissett for me. Just makes the most sense. Like, I don't know how much he knows like the remaining staff here, but he's got to know some of them. Mainly front office guys probably at this point. Gotta have some familiarity with Mayo. Minshew, I'd be fine with. Like, obviously, good vibes guy and just like
He's the
fun to
he's the
watch when he
fun
comes in.
option. Exactly.
Flacco, it's easy to say he could be like the mentor, like the old guy, but like. After last year, he probably wants to play, like, ideally a full season.
You would think,
And, if you're drafting Mayer Daniels, I think Flacco's probably starting to start the year. But, like, is he going to want to start, like, play somewhere where a rookie's going to take over? Probably not. Like, if he comes out of retirement, he probably wants a place where he's going to start at least like 14 games, like at least have a somewhat guarantee to play the whole season if he stays healthy. Yeah, it's Brissett or Minshew, but it's Brissett's the guy. I don't know how you can say anyone else. I'm out on Russell Wilson. I don't want
I'm
his
right there with you.
corny
The people that
ass.
want him, I can't believe
I don't want his
there are people
corny
that want
ass in
him.
this locker room. I don't want him affecting the rookie, whoever they draft. I don't want that at all. Let him be someone else's problem. Part of the worst trade ever. His contract didn't even really start. It would have started this year in Denver. That's just a red flag. Like the fact that they had to do this the way they did, just steer clear. Let someone like the Falcons fuck up. Like let them sign Kirk Cousins or trade for Mac Jones or fucking sign Russell Wilson because it feels like they're a team to do that. Or maybe it'll be Pittsburgh. I don't know. Yeah, there's Baker Mayfield out there too. I
That was
just,
good.
you
I
know,
forgot to add him. Yeah. Any thoughts
he's,
on him? I feel like he's kind of a foregone conclusion now that Mike Evans is back in Tampa, that Mayfield's probably going to end up back there as well, which I'm fine with. We talked about that. Like, Mayfield's a guy that I'm not shelling out a ton of money to sign because he's a 2 to 3. Like, I don't want to have the rookie sit behind him for 2 to 3 years.
No,
Like,
yeah,
I
it
want
doesn't
that
make
kid to
sense.
maybe play, like you said, halfway through the year. Give him a full year to sit, and then like Baker Mayfield's a longer term. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people that want Baker Mayfield, and those are the people that think like, oh, the Patriots can just go out and sign 10 free agents, and nail the draft and be right back in contention this year if you have Baker Mayfield. I don't know if that's the case. Like, I would. This is a longer rebuild than people I feel like are thinking. And getting Baker Mayfield's not going to extend that. I don't. I'm not going to say it's only going to hurt. It might hurt that because again, you're not playing your rookie quarterback for a couple of years, but. I just don't see him as a huge possibility for this team.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason is the connections to the offensive staff too. I just don't think it makes sense. Like the domino of Evans to fall fell. So he's gonna stay in Tampa. It just makes the most sense. Like if you're him too, like Tampa's not this like wagon playoff contender juggernaut or nothing, but they made the playoffs when they shouldn't have this year, and that's partially because of him. I'd stay in that group. I wouldn't take a step back with a
They're in the
rebuilding
easiest
Patriots
division
team.
in football, too.
Easiest division of football, like playing meaningful games, living in Tampa, like you shouldn't leave that. Mike Evans loves you. I imagine he loves Mike. I don't know why he wouldn't. So that's where it's at on, you know, veteran QBs. We saw a veteran QB just go off the market. Back to Buffalo and Mitch Trubisky. I wasn't. He's another guy. Like would have been funny if they just signed him for vibes. Kind of a funny guy, but
Oh, would have
I'm
hated
all
that.
set. I'm all set on Mitch. Him and Josh Allen, I bet will be good friends. I bet they know each other. So
Mitch
Josh Allen
Trubisky's
ripped
not a
his
guy you
pants
want. I
yesterday. Did
saw
you see
that,
that?
yeah, because
And
everyone I
he walked out of the van with Haley Steinfeld, and he had the hoodie tied around his waist, probably covering
Yeah,
that
yep.
hole. Yeah, it happens, man. You know, he probably handled it better than most of
Happens
us
to the
would,
best of us, yeah.
from the looks of things. The Patriots are expected to shop wide out DeVante Parker with the knowledge that it'd be more challenging to move fellow underachieving veteran Juju Smith-Schuster. Makes a lot of sense. I think you're looking at like a late sixth round pick for DeVante Parker, and you should be happy with that.
Yeah,
Only
I'll take that
saves
in a
you
heartbeat.
3.33 million, I saw, but
Don't care.
like they're casting off
Like,
veterans they feel like they want to cast off. Maybe JC Jackson the cast off, he comes back in a cheaper deal. Like you said a couple weeks ago, maybe Adrian Phillips can do that. No, just get rid of DeVante Parker. Like you have to make stylistic cultural changes, and they're doing that with some veterans that they feel
Yeah,
they
I'll
need
take that,
to.
absolutely.
Whether it's, you know, they want to go a different approach, different types of players, different culture, whatever. Like DeVante Parker, just acknowledge the L. Acknowledge the L. Trade him to Carolina for a sixth round pick or like Jacksonville. I could see trading for him. Get rid of him because you're not trading Juju. Nobody wants that contract. I think you should trade one of them. It makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. I know the wide receiver market's going to be crap this year with Higgins and Pittman obviously getting franchise tag. I think the best one out there right now is probably Ridley, but I don't care. Like, trade him for, like you said, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. Draft somebody, you know, sign one of these lesser wide receivers to replace him. Like, I don't care. You bring up a good point about the culture shift. This is a guy, as we saw last year, when he gets disgruntled, I feel like it's not a guy you want around. So whatever you can get for him, sixth round pick, maybe you squeeze a fifth out of somebody that's super desperate. I'm fine with that. Doesn't matter. Like, just goodbye. See you later.
Yeah, I'm Calvin Ridley too. I'm open to the Calvin Ridley thing, especially with the market dwindling. There are some people that believe he could get 4 years. I would prefer not to sign him till he's 33,
Yeah, I'm
34.
not. Yeah.
I'm looking at him ideally as a 1 year deal, but that's just like not going to happen.
No
So if you
chance.
have to
Yeah,
give him
not
two,
with this market, no.
yeah, he's gonna get three or four probably from the right team. He could be like a Christian Kirk, similar contract. He gets like a ton of money that kind of blows you away. If you can get that in 2, 3 years, it'd be fine. Three is a little dicey for me, but I'm okay with Calvin Ridley at this point. Got Matthew Judon annoyingly recruiting everybody again. Like
You
it's not
hate this
cute.
so much.
Dude, I think players genuinely do not like it. I don't think players like it. Did it work last year?
No, it didn't. I mean, is it more so Judon wanting guys
And
here not
this is
working,
not
or
an
the
appealing location
teams?
right now.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. Is it more so guys being like, I don't want to come. I might like Matt
It's
Judon, but I don't
both.
want to play for the Patriots. It's like.
But at the same time, when we're talking about appealing location, great draft position all throughout the draft, 100 million. If you
New
like
head
Mayo,
coach, you don't
new
have a
staff,
new hard
maybe some
ass. You
people
don't have a hard ass
didn't
anymore.
like
Yeah.
Belichick, you know. I don't freaking know, man. Wolf and Jerod Mayo expressed their desire publicly to add a game-changing player on offense. How the team accomplished that goal is a big question.
How do you
They're
take
planning
that?
for,
What do you
what do you
consider
mean?
game, like
Like a
game
game.
changing? Wide receiver,
Calvin
quarterback,
Ridley.
what do you? Okay. All
I
right.
look, Calvin
Do you
Ridley
take it
is,
as free agent acquisition? This, because I
yes.
kind of took it as a draft type of response.
I think
But
it's a
either
free
way,
agent or
it's fine.
trade.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe they want to trade for Davante Adams. Maybe there's that crazy scenario.
That would be crazy.
I don't think Davante Adams would want to play here.
Probably not, no.
Calvin Ridley, let's not forget, is still very good. Like, not an elite receiver, but what Calvin Ridley is capable of is worth taking a flyer on. Especially those one or two particular seasons in Atlanta. I'm willing to take that flyer because he when he gets open space, he's so fast. I think he's good at getting open space. I just like the player. He's
Correct.
explosive. He's fun. Like they found ways to get him in the end zone when they couldn't with Julio Jones. They eventually couldn't with Kyle Pitts. Like
I
they
was just
struggled
going
to
to
get
say
skilled
that.
players in the end zone. And he had 10 touchdowns 1 year. Like, if they scheme up the right offense for him and have the right guy throwing, I think Calvin Ridley is a great fit.
That was going to be what I asked you. Just correct me as if I'm wrong. Is the year before he obviously got popped for the betting stuff? Is he had a better statistical year than Julio Jones, if I remember correctly? Or like that was the year I think you were referring to with the 10 touchdowns and being able to find the end zone. The one thing that scares me about him is just like with the Patriots, as we said, not a big destination, so you're going to have to overpay free agents regardless. But the fact that he is like the de facto number one wide receiver in the market, it's going to be a bidding war for him, I feel like. And I'm very not worried, because I mean, if it starts getting up there, the Patriots, I don't think are going to try to outbid anybody for him. But like, it is going to be curious to see how much money, and Christian Kirk's a good comp that you bring up, a number that potentially blows you away. But that deal, I'd say, worked out the first year he was with Jacksonville. He put up very good numbers, so maybe it's a surprise thing there. But like, after that, like, who's the best free agent in the market wide receiver wise? Like,
A lot.
names that come to mind, like OBJ, but I wouldn't say he's up there Calvin Ridley
All
level.
set.
Like Curtis Samuel, I like. You do as well. You've been
I
very
do
vocal on
like
him.
Curtis
I take
Samuel.
him, but definitely not the skill set that a guy like Ridley brings. So like, the drop off from Calvin Ridley to whoever you
It's
put that number
big.
two receiver is massive.
I think a tag and trade for T. Higgins is possible.
I've seen that come up a lot lately, which I'm kind of
I don't
surprised by.
know. I'm a little. I kind of feel like it won't happen right now, but that's just me going off vibes. Yeah, Calvin Ridley. Rookie year, 10 touchdowns, 821 receiving yards, 88, 66, and 7 the next year, 13, 74, and 9 the next, with injury in 2021. He had 281 and 2 touchdowns because that season cut short, a year off with the gambling suspension. Then last year comes in, catches 76 of 30, 136 balls, 8 touchdowns, 1,016 yards. Like, that's the guy. Like, Curtis Samuel is a good ad. But he kind of falls into that two or three discussion. Calvin Ridley can be a number one. Maybe not number one quality in comparison to some of the best. No doubt, fair to say.
But
But
number
he
one
is
to
the
what you'd have.
best. He is the best
Yeah.
receiver on this team, unless you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Right now, if you sign him. And yeah, that's the concerning part, the bidding war. If they can get him on a reasonable 2, 3 year deal, I'm cool with it.
I'm
It
right
at
there with you.
least shows the willingness to spend that money. So
True, yep.
You just got to make it work out. That's just how it comes down to it at the end of the day. They're planning for the possibility that Cole Strange won't be ready for part of the offseason. I'm looking to add more depth to the position. Good. Pretty simple. What
Draft
works for
kick
me.
draft pick keeps getting better and better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
While the Patriots like to bring Hunter Henry back, the two sides are far apart, and an extension and name to watch is Austin Hooper. No, thank you.
Yep, I'm right there
Who
with
is
you.
with Cleveland? He's not good anymore. Dalton Schultz is no longer available. I'm all in on Noah Fant over Hunter Henry. I think,
Really?
the Hunter
I saw
Henry
you put
stuff.
that poll out the other day. Who would you rather
Yeah.
have? I voted for Hunter Henry.
I like Noah Fant. I think this is partially because of the contract talks. Hunter Henry worked originally here, and it didn't work last year. I don't know if I want to take that risk again of it not working or the tight end
Fair.
position just being ineffective. I want new blood. I want Noah Fant. I think he's a little younger. And I told you I want a mid-round tight end. Like, if they can get Cade Stover from Ohio State, I like him in the fourth round. I like Ben Sinnott. I like the kid Theo Johnson. He might go. I've seen some people mock him in the second round. I don't know if he'll go that early. I've seen him in the fourth round as well. I like Tanner McLaughlin as well as a late round guy. Mocked as a seventh rounder, had a great combine from Arizona. I like Tanner McLaughlin a lot. That's a guy. I want them to draft and develop a tight end, and I want them to sign a guy like Noah Fant.
I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, I just I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that again with Hunter Henry. Love the player, love the guy. I kind of want to try out some new blood.
I wonder because of the down year and like you just mentioned, if you can get him back on a cheaper deal, probably not because I don't think he probably want to come back on a cheaper deal. But I look at Hunter Henry, you're going through a transition period right now. You lose a veteran voice in Matthew Slater. Who is going to be that guy that steps up? You bring Hunter Henry back, good veteran presence, especially if you do go with a
Yeah.
rookie quarterback. Obviously, we've kind of seen the thing before. Young quarterbacks tend to lean on their tight ends a little bit. He'd be a good guy to have back. That's why I'd bring him back. Those couple of reasons. And plus, when he is getting used correctly, as we've talked about before and wanted before, he is a very productive tight end. So it's not like he, not that you're saying that he's
Yeah, that's
not
what you're
has
banking
anything left in
on.
the tank or anything like that. But he is a productive player when he is getting the ball. So, and we saw that last year a couple times too. Zappe tend to lean on him late in the year. So I'd bring him back. I'm not opposed to what you said though. I think, like you said, Font is younger. Definitely think they should draft the tight end as well, and kind of roll with that.
Yeah,
Tight end's
that's
one of
where I'm
those
at.
one those positions. Sorry to cut you off, but just the last thought. It's not really a pressing. Like obviously you don't have one on the roster, so to say it's not a pressing matter might be crazy. But there are other glaring holes in this team that need addressing before you spend a whole lot of attention on, oh, what do we do at tight end? Like,
Yeah,
that's a one I
no
feel like you
doubt.
should be able to find pretty easy.
Yeah, and I don't know. I kind of think there's an outside shot that tight end is an option in the second round.
Okay.
Namely Jatavion Sanders, the stud tight end from Texas. So that's a name to watch out for, I'd say. He's very good. I would be okay with that. Just to depend on how the rest of the board looks because he got some other positions that are more pressing needs.
For
Kendrick
sure.
Bourne, they have offered him a new contract. It's not a guarantee he stays. I imagine he'd get a 2-year deal here. I'm 50-50 on Bourne. I want it to happen.
Really?
This is another vibes one. I don't know why I feel like it's not gonna. I don't
That's
know.
depressing.
Is that just me? Are you like optimistic he's coming back?
I mean, the report was it's not great that I think the report had it that the two sides aren't seeing eye to eye on on his market, which is never a good sign there. And maybe he, kind of feels the same way that what we just said. What is the how big is the drop off between Calvin Ridley and him? It's a drop off, but Kendrick Bourne, solid player. I think obviously a lot of teams would like to have him. Andrew Callahan had the tweet that said, the Bills, Rams, and Jets all could be expected to swoop in and try to get him, which would
I think
suck
he'd
to
be
see
a
him stay in the
great
division.
wide receiver three for the Rams.
He would be, yeah. You
Great
pair him
wide
up there
receiver
with
three.
Kupp and, I think he'd be a good wide receiver too. If obviously Gabe Davis is a free agent, you send him to Buffalo and have him
Maybe
and
Gabe Davis is a
Stephon
Patriots
Diggs.
option.
See, I don't know, like
I
good
like Gabe
receiver.
Davis. He's boom or bust, though.
That's
Mainly because of
what I
how
was
they
gonna
used
say
him.
is true. Yeah,
His bust
you
games were because they wouldn't look for him
even look
super.
his way. Yeah, that's right.
And he's a guy that, like, complaining on social media is fine, but he backed it up with stats that one time. I kind of like that.
All
I
right,
kind of
yeah.
like having the
Bet on
stats
yourself
and
and
like these
yeah.
nice breakdowns. Like, dude, like he's fucking serious. Like,
Yeah.
I kind of
Nope,
like
he's not
that.
fucking around. I mean, I bring Kendrick Bourne back. It kind of
I would
falls in the
too.
same category, Hunter Henry. Like you need a guy, a veteran, Kendrick
Especially if
Bourne
you
off
trade
is
Parker.
Absolutely, yeah. If you trade Parker, I mean, you're wide, and you have to deal with another injured Juju year. Like your wide receiver position is already, thin to begin with. You lose Bourne. Now what is it? And plus, like Bourne, I feel like is one of the few guys that Judon falls into the same category too. That actually seems like they enjoy being here. So that's and obviously we saw what Kendrick Bourne did for a young rookie quarterback their first year in the league. So you bring in a guy like Daniels, May, Kendrick Bourne's there. Maybe he builds rapport with another young quarterback like he did with Mac.
And he talks about quarterbacks he likes, to the media. The word vibes guy gets thrown around, the term vibes guy, sorry, there's a little message on my screen for the chat here off the side. I don't even know if we're getting chat messages. I heard that Twitter and YouTube chat don't work sometimes. So if you're trying to chat there, I apologize.
You said
There's
that
nothing
last
we
show, I'm
can
pretty
really
sure too,
do
yeah.
on our end, though. I wish I could, but just can't. We don't run that show, that part of the operation, rather. Kendrick Bourne is the definition of a vibes guy, and he's actually
For
good.
sure, yep.
Social media, you see all these clips. He's always got a smile on his face. Like, that's a guy you bring back for a culture fit. And like, he's gonna be motivated. He was good before that injury. Like, and he said good moments. Like, he's a motivated guy. He's an energetic guy. I don't think he's breaking the bank. I think at most like a 2 year deal is like 2 years, 10 million probably coming off the injury. I don't think it's gonna be super expensive. I could be wrong. Maybe a little higher than that.
I thought
If
I
he's
saw
worth
somebody
four or
say
five
two and
million a
18,
year, oh
which
God,
six
no.
is kind of pushing it, but
Yeah, maybe like six or seven at the top. That just feels like the right range. It could be wrong, but like, I don't know. If you get him at the right price for 2 years, I think you should do it. You got cap space.
absolutely.
That's a good veteran, good positive guy for your offense, for your QB. For a receiver, good mentor type of guy to learn from. Kendrick Bourne isn't this like amazing number one receiver or anything, but he's good. He's solid. He's got intangibles that you like as a leader and a player. So. May Wolf's desire to retain Kyle Duggar and Mike Onwenu isn't just lip service. They're actively working on re-signing two of them ahead of free agency. Duggar has a transition tag. Bruins, Patriots have first right of refusal on any other offers. Kind of sounds to me, I don't know the technical reasons, why this may or may not be true. Kind of feels like a qualifying offer on a player in the NHL, so you can retain those rights. You can negotiate a long-term deal down the road later in the summer or something. Kind of similar to that in the NFL. Not quite, though. Like, if somebody gives you an offer, you have a week. So it's kind of like an offer sheet and a qualifying deal, like kind of bundled into one. I could be wrong, could be overthinking it, but that's kind of what it feels like. You don't see the transition tag thrown around a lot, probably once or twice an offseason, if that. I love that, they're keeping Duggar around. Didn't want to see him go. Little worried about Mike Onwenu just because of the market, but I still have optimism that, with these comments 2 weeks ago, the core guys, that term core guys is huge to hear. Like, you can say like, these are great players, we want to keep them around, yada yada yada. Core guys is a different level to me, especially for a new regime. I like that. And drafting and developing talent, keep them around. Like, pay Mike. Don't worry about, oh, is Jonah Williams going to come in and be good? Like, is fucking whoever the hell else? I'm not going to run through a whole list of tackles right now, mainly because I'm forgetting some names that I shouldn't. They're trying to bring in Mike. Kyle Duggar staying around. Mack Wilson, Farrell Brown, and Miles Bryant are also being negotiated with. Miles Bryant, I wonder how he does with a different look on defense. Mayo's head coach. No Belichick, no Sinceri. I'm sure they lost a couple other guys here and there. I'm not going to run down that list too. Don't have it handy on me. But I don't know. Like, I think
As
they're going
much
to
as
keep
we
Miles Bryant because he's kind of become like this guy that can make plays, like big plays. I like them bringing him back on the right deal. Mack Wilson's whatever. Like, that's just depth, and he's a fine player. Had a good last few games of the season. Farrell Brown, like, if he's your TE3. Or
He
TE2
was
as you develop a
great
like a
find last year.
sixth round tight end or something, go ahead. It won't cost a lot. So that's where I'm at on that. Just prioritize Big Mike. I'll say it till it
Oh,
happens.
absolutely.
We got Christian Barmore tweeting out videos of buying his mom a house. Costs a
Nice.
lot of money. Give him some more in that bank account.
Yeah,
Kind of
help
soften
him
the
out,
blow.
even
Good
things
guy
back
move,
out.
by the
Yeah.
way. The best types of videos to see,
Absolutely.
buying cars for your parents or a house or paying off the mortgage, always makes me smile.
I was just gonna say, because you brought up Miles Bryant, like as much as we dump on the guy and we have in the past, like he was pretty good at the end, towards the end of the year, surprisingly. He was not one of your main problems. So to bring him back as a depth guy, obviously you'll be getting Christian Gonzalez back to be one of your main corners. I don't know if L'Jarius Sneed is a realistic option. I saw that today that
He's a
maybe they
due
were just
diligence
doing their
guy,
due
it sounds
diligence.
like.
Yep.
They should, which they should do.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be stupid not to. The guy was arguably the best corner in football right up there last year, with how well he played, especially in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, the three guys you mentioned, like Mac Wilson, kind of in the same boat you are. Like, he had his moments last year, but if you lose him, like, you should be able to find a linebacker, free agency in the draft that can do what he does. Good player, but not one you'll lose sleep over if he ends up leaving. Obviously, there are teams, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Philly, and the Saints, that were all reportedly in on Wilson, so it might be a bigger market than you maybe thought for him. But I'm with you, like, on Onwenu, kind of in the same boat in the wide receiver market. Like, I feel like right tackle is maybe not the strongest free agency. He is definitely the number one option. Then the drop off is probably pretty big between him and the next guy, so
Yeah.
that scares me a little bit. But
Yeah,
like you
Jonah
said,
Williams is probably the next best to put in on the
yeah.
right. They're in on Tyron Smith,
I like that.
which I like, not for the age reason. He's 33, bigger guy. That extra body weight puts a little more tread on the tires, tread on the knees, whatever. But I mean, Tyron Smith has a Hall of Fame resume, potentially. Like, this is a guy that you could sign for 1 or 2 years and be fine. Like, maybe a 2 year deal with like an easy opt out if things are falling off or he wants to retire or wants to just go somewhere else if the fit's not right. Look, if you're replacing Trent Brown with Tyron Smith and keeping Michael Wenu or drafting a guy in the second round,
Perfectly fine with that.
yeah, like I'm really just a quick draft note. I love Kingsley Suamataya. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I've heard multiple pronunciations from I always forget. I get BYU and Penn State mixed up all the time, and I don't know why. It's because similar colors. It has to be.
Yeah.
Let me check on Kingsley here. I should know this. The guy's suggesting it. BYU. Him and Kieran Omegadeji are from BYU. No, he's from Yale. Yale, another one. Blue and white. See, I get them mixed up. Why do I do this? I like
Aren't their
Suamataya.
logos
That's a
too
guy I
all
like
like
the Rutgers.
backgrounds a blue circle
Yeah,
with a
God damn
white
it.
line around? So I can see where you're coming from.
I just made myself look like a goon for no fucking
It's
reason.
okay. It happens to the best of us.
Hey, not the first time.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are good options here on the line. I hope they nail
Yeah,
it.
absolutely.
Mac Wilson expected to draw interest. I don't remember if you said this or not.
I did.
Yeah, the interest from Pitt teams, I didn't remember. I wanted to
It's
check.
okay.
Tyron Smith, talked about him, Jonah Wilson Williams. Franchise tag guys. A lot of them expected. Justin Madubuike, can't let him go. He's a monster, had a great year. Brian Burns, the buyer's remorse guy of the list. They could have got a third and two firsts for him a little while back from the Rams. Chose not to. Yikes. Brian Burns, great player. On the other side, don't know if I would have given up that much for him. That seems like a lot, but he's a good young pass rusher that hasn't quite hit his prime, so I get it. Jalen Johnson's on the tag. He's great. I think he's only going to get better. T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, Josh Allen, thought of potentially to maybe be a Patriots option, not a thing anymore. L'Jarius Sneed and Antoine Winfield. Antoine Winfield, another smart one. Bucks doing a good job. Evans locked up, 52 for 2 years, 35 guaranteed. You got to sign a guy long term like Antoine Winfield. He's fantastic. And Baker Mayfield probably sticking around as well. Notable players who weren't tagged slash were released: Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney in New York. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, who Matt Judon tried to recruit. Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, Christian Wilkins. Very surprised to see Christian Wilkins not
Yeah,
tagged.
that was a big one. Yep.
Anything we'd be lucky to have him. He's a monster. Was great at Clemson too. I wonder. Speaking of the Dolphins, if they look to add a guy like Andrew Van Ginkle in New England, love Andrew Van Ginkle, always felt like he was a Belichick type guy. So we'll see what Draw Mayo thinks, but maybe some similar philosophies there. I would love if they added Andrew Van Ginkle. Michael Wenu, as we know, Jerome Baker was released. CJ Uzomah was released. Russell Wilson, Alexander Mattison, which I found out the day after, didn't even see any news. Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, who will be a post-June 1 release. From what I saw, Saron Neal. Deontay Hardy, starting center Mitch Morse. I believe he was a starter last year. I don't know who else would be. And Nyheim Hines, all released. Avante Maddox in Philly was also released. but could be retained on a new deal, according to reports. How do you feel about this list? I feel like anyone with a brain should have been pretty surprised about Christian Wilkins not being tagged.
For sure. Yep, I definitely was.
That was wild. Like, Miami's done a lot. You know, Jerome Baker's gone now too. They got rid of Xavier Howard. Little turnover there. I think their defense could use improvement, so maybe they just have a different vision there. They lost Vic Fangio as well, so maybe, you know, their new guy, who I'm drawing a blank on the name of. So much coaching news, hard to keep up sometimes. Yeah, how do you feel about this list? That's really all I have to ask because I don't want to, you know, get too specific here. Let's just
It's
let the
fair enough.
conversation
Yeah, it's
flow.
fair. I mean, we kind of knew last week, I think I had their report in the outline, or the report came out that it was expected that Barkley and Jacobs were both going to hit the market. So, I mean, the running back free agent market is going to be very good this year. I don't know how realistic the rumors were, because I think I saw it on one of those like NFL rumors Twitter pages or whatever, but there were a couple that had the Patriots potentially linked to Barkley. And then, as you said, that Matt Judon is preaching for Josh Jacobs to come here, which, like, I don't know if I'd shell out a ton of money for a running back when you have Ramondre Stevenson. Like, I would be perfectly fine with them running it back with Steven, no pun intended, with Stevenson and Zeke this year.
Dude.
Nyheim Hines is an interesting, I didn't even know he got released. That's an interesting name that I wouldn't hate the Patriots bringing in, because we obviously saw how well he played in Jonathan Taylor's absence. And even when he came back last year, played very well for the Colts. Other than that, like, Baker not getting tagged, not a surprise. You knew he was going to hit the market and try to get, you know, a decent amount of money. Yeah, nothing too good. The one interesting one to me is the Bills basically blowing out their defense in Poyer and in Tredavious White.
Yeah,
I
they
don't know.
freed a
Part
ton
of
of
me
cap
kind of like,
space.
what's up?
They freed a ton of cap space.
True. And then part of me too, like, Tredavious White always gets hurt, so like I feel like him getting kind of shafted here, getting released. But maybe they bring him back on a cheaper deal or something like that. But that is interesting to see what the Bills end up doing. And then you had here too in the outline that Von Miller had his contract renegotiated, so that opened up some cap space for them as well. So they got some money to play with, maybe, to see if some of these guys come back or what they end up deciding to do in Buffalo.
Yeah, I kind of wondered if this is like these like tactical moves to make a run at Snead, but I wonder
That'd
what
be
the
something.
Bills cap space situation looks like. Are they trying to get like out of negative territory or what?
Well, they
It
did just re-sign
says,
Taylor Rapp. That broke, I think, during the hockey segment.
yeah,
He
and
had
they
3 years and
signed
14 million for
Trubisky
him,
too.
so. Yeah.
Still, over the cap has Tre'Davious White and some of these guys still in the books. I wonder if they were trying to get out from under the cap or what, but
Maybe.
doesn't really matter. You know, the cap doesn't really exist in the NFL. If you want to make a big trade work, I'm sure
Cap
you
is
can
crap.
restructure contracts. We saw the Patriots do it a lot in their prime days to make shit work. Mike Evans, like we said, re-ups with the Bucks. Zach Ertz goes to the Commanders after wanting to go to a contender last year. Must not have had much of a market because this is not a contender. 1 year deal worth up to $5 million, probably some easily attainable incentives in there, I would imagine. Mitch Trubisky to Buffalo. Taylor Rapp signs for 3 years with up to $14 million. I think that's pretty good value. I like Taylor Rapp. And Von Miller's contract was renegotiated, opening up $8.645 million. So we'll see what the Bills are cooking. They traded Ryan Bates as well, which is funny because if you watch that old Sunday conversation video with Caleb Presley, he talked about like his like least favorite lineman or like something about like his lineman. Or like his least reliable, something like that. I remember the clip, and he just goes, Ryan Bates. And Ryan Bates used to play for the Bears, so he's back in Chicago. This guy we actually talked about the Patriots getting a few years ago, I remember. That's about it for football, though, I think. What about you, Ryan? The Jane
Yeah,
Daniels
nothing too
stuff.
crazy.
Apparently, his camp said like he might not want to play in New England. Jane Daniels just simply put the cap emoji. So
Yeah, I saw
that is
that the
that.
reason was because of the cold or something stupid like that. It's like, all right, if you believe that, like, I'm sure the guy is gonna, if he goes third overall, will be happy to play wherever, or, you
Yeah,
know,
Jaden Daniels is
is a
from
high
San
draft pick.
Bernardino, California, so I guess that would make sense. But yeah, like, come on. It's kind of nonsense. I will say, we talked about this. There seems to be belief that Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy could go, like, be the third quarterback.
Hate that.
I would actually cry. Like, I really would. I think that would bring me to tears. It can't happen unless you make some crazy trade down to like 11. It can't happen. It can't. He's like the Mac Jones. Some team will take him because he falls far enough, hopefully. Don't do it at 3. Just don't. Like, I don't want a guy who's a not super proven passer. Great coaching, helps him too. I think that helped him win. He got carried by a great defense and a great running game. There's too many question marks. The coaching thing isn't really like a knock on him. It's just like part of the equation. Like they don't win that national championship without Jim Harbaugh running the show. That's really just my point. There's too much concern around J.J. McCarthy for him to even go in the top 10. I don't even think he's in the top 15 best players in the class. Maybe top 20. I'd have to like actually look into it. But I could safely say I can name 15 players better than J.J. McCarthy in this draft.
Yeah, I
Please
mean
don't. Please don't.
the draft is never a sure thing by any means. I mean, you see busts happen all the time, but like when you're drafting third overall, take the surer thing, I guess. Like, take the
Yeah.
guys that are projected to go up within the top three, not like, again, I'm sure there's a reason why McCarthy is climbing up people's draft boards outside of just Harbaugh saying that he thinks he should be
Yeah,
the
Jim
first
Harbaugh
quarterback drafted.
propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
He also like he had a good combine, it sounds like, but like he also had some tough throws, so it depends on the team. Like some teams might hate those bad throws, certain reads, whatever. Some teams might be like, ah, fuck that.
I also think it probably
I'm
comes down to
looking one
two.
more thing.
Go
I'm
ahead.
expecting a team to trade into the top eight to get him.
For
That's
him,
my
that wouldn't
prediction.
surprise
Yeah.
me. He had a good
If the
combine.
board stays as it does in the top 12, he is gone by 11 to Minnesota. And if not that, he's going to
Could see that
Denver by
happening,
12.
absolutely.
He's not getting out of the top 12 the way it is right now, in my
No,
opinion.
the way it's been going, absolutely not. And that was what I was going to say is obviously didn't watch a whole lot of the combine over the weekend. But I think people could argue that the quarterbacks that were in his grouping with him had as bad of a day as he had a good, like he stood out because I think all the other quarterbacks around him too were not good throwing and doing those drills. So maybe that's something to keep in mind too. There might be a reason why he stood out as much as he reportedly did in that grouping or however you want to word it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like if especially if Drake May's there. I like Jaden Daniels. If Drake May's there and you take fucking JJ McCarthy over him, oh God, it's the worst. Oh, I'd rather take a left tackle. I would.
I probably would too.
Good
I'm right there.
God,
I'm right there with you.
because Joe Alt is a freak. 6'8", 322 pounds, great combine. So,
Jeez.
it's kind of. 322, I feel like he could add some weight to that frame. He's tall. Like he can get a little more weight on that. I think, and just be even bigger monster. Don't think it's a big concern though. The kid's fucking amazing. He's an incredible tackle prospect from all accounts. The Boston Red Sox, Ryan, have likely lost Lucas Giolito for the entirety of the season. They signed CJ Cron a little while back. They're doing stuff. They're still in the mix on Jordan Montgomery. And the most
They're
exciting
not.
thing, one Brian Baio might get extended.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that, and again, like I precipice, I press whatever the word is, you know what I'm trying to say.
Prefaced.
Thank you. It's the end of the show. This is when things tend to go off the rails when it comes to pronouncing words.
I gotcha. I've been there before, believe
Like
me.
the Bruins blowing games, you can set your watch to when you and I start fucking up when it comes to speaking at the end of our shows. I wish the best for Lucas Giolito and I Vaughn Grissom, who also he was the one that started off the injury wagon of not being ready for opening day. So I'm going to say that ahead of time. But what's happening with the Boston Red Sox is absolutely hilarious right now. You could see this coming from a mile away, not this early on, but we've talked about it before. We knew going into the year that you had some needs, you needed to address some things. Getting one starting pitcher was not going to be enough. And now, as Tyler Milliken put it the other day, listening to Zolak and Bertrand, you went from having one pitcher in your rotation to now negative one after trading Chris Sale away and losing Lucas Giolito, probably, as you said, for the entire season. As Jeff Passan had it here for the people that may have missed it. Initial imaging showed Boston Red Sox starter Lucas Giolito likely has a partially torn UCL and flexor strain and could miss the entire 2024 season. League sources tell ESPN Giolito, who signed a 2-year deal with Boston, may need surgery to repair the right elbow damage. To which Boston Strong then had the Red Sox will pay Chris Sale and Lucas Giolito $36.25 million this year, and neither one of them will pitch for them, which is not great. Maz said it the other day on Fogart. Maz, this is the most Red Sox thing that could have happened to the Boston Red Sox. You have this happen right in the middle of spring training to two of your quote unquote biggest additions. Because again, they weren't really massive additions by any means, but these are two guys you were probably going to have to lean pretty heavily on. You obviously get Grissom for Chris Sale, who's dominating, by the way, in Braves camp. I don't think he's given up a run yet in the two or three spring training starts he's had. It is spring training. You do take it with a grain of salt. But when one guy is dominating and one guy is hurt, that tends to, shed an ugly light on the situation there. And Giolito, obviously, the thing that stinks about him is we talked about it when they signed him. Yeah, it wasn't the flashiest signing on the world. The ERA wasn't great. He was horrible last year when it came to, getting guys out and stuff like that. But the one thing you could rely on with Lucas Giolito, and one thing this Red Sox team desperately needed in the rotation, was a guy that could eat up innings, give you right around 180, 200 innings in between there somewhere. And Giolito had been that guy for his career. Now he's hurt. Now you don't know where those innings are going to come from. Apparently, you had Craig Breslow the other day said that Cooper Criswell might be in the mix to make the starting rotation. He got lit up today in his start, so that's off to a good performance there. Shocker, I know. I see the
The
look on your
guy
face.
you signed for $1 million
Yep, is
is
going to be
your
potentially your number
option.
five starter.
That's your guy.
Well, there was a tweet. I think I sent it to you. But this Jordan Leandre on Twitter had the perfect tweet to sum up the Red Sox offseason and potentially what this team could look like. He said that almost the entire Red Sox offseason might not be on the opening day roster. For the people that forget, because there's a lot of minor league signings on this that I will run through very quickly. What the current situation of the Red Sox offseason additions are. As we said, Vaughn Grissom and Lucas Giolito both not going to be ready for opening day. With Vaughn Grissom with a groin strain, and Giolito may need Tommy John surgery. Liam Hendricks, as we know, is recovering from Tommy John surgery, so he may not pitch at all this year. If he does, probably won't be back until the trade deadline, right around the All-Star break. TJ Cron, as you mentioned, is on a minor league deal. He'll have to make camp for that deal to obviously break through. Same thing with Roberto Perez. He's on a minor league deal. Greg Weissert, AAA depth, as Jordan has here in this tweet. Justin Slayton's a Rule 5 draft pick, so there's no guarantee he makes the opening day roster. Tyler O'Neill right now is the only safe guy at the moment. Obviously, he was traded for to be probably your starting left fielder. Isaiah Campbell, he might be safe as well. Reliever they traded for from Seattle, I believe it was. And then the AAA depth of Cooper Criswell, Mark Contreras, Romy Gonzalez, Taylor Heineman, Mark Colas. Very had to look up who that even was. Jamie Westbrook, Joe Dunnan, who I didn't even know they signed or who that even is. All AAA depth options. And as we know, Michael Fulmer, to round out the list, is already out for the entire year as he recovers from an injury. So that again is a recap of your Red Sox offseason. And maybe one or two of those guys, maybe three, if Slayton makes it as a Rule 5 guy, potentially one to three guys on our opening day roster. That is a Oakland Athletics, Kansas City Royals type of offseason right there for the people that may have forgotten or may want to push that to the back of your mind. And that is what your Boston Red Sox are dealing with. And as you mentioned, they might still be in the mix for Jordan Montgomery. The way I look at it is, if they weren't going to sign him with Giolito before, they're not going to sign him now because this is the perfect thing for John Henry and the Red Sox front office ownership group to sit there and go, well, we did
We
bring a guy
tried.
in. We tried, exactly. He got hurt
We
2
tried.
weeks
You're
into spring
stupid. Some of
training.
you will believe us in the
Yep.
legitimacy of that statement.
We tried, but the one guy we brought in as the one option to help us got hurt, and that derailed our entire season. So,
But hey, we're gonna sign Brian
shucks,
Baio
we
because
that
he's gonna make
exactly.
a less than $100 million. That's
Yep.
why. In that first deal,
Well, that is a good,
I
that
saw
is a,
Spencer
I will give
Strider.
credit.
Spencer Strider and Hunter Green are contract comparables, and I like somewhere in the middle of that range, maybe on the
Yeah,
lower
I mean,
side,
both those
but
guys, I mean, the Braves make it known that they like to, steal
they do it
their
all the
young
time.
talent. Exactly. They'll sign guys to 10-year, $20 million contracts and be set.
Yeah,
Like,
also found
so.
out Liam Hendricks is a Canadiens fan, so fuck that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That kind of
Yeah,
hurts.
weird. Why?
Yeah.
Weird.
He's an
Just random
Australian
notes.
man that's a Canadiens fan. That's
Yeah,
very
I don't know.
bizarre.
Maybe he just like picked random teams
I
when
guess
he
so.
decided to root for American sports teams.
He's one of those Twitter profiles you see that's like a Yankees,
Yeah.
Steelers, Knicks,
Lakers,
and
Bama.
yeah, one of those fans. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's again, I wish a speedy recovery to both Vaughn Grissom, and he's obviously the guy that's more likely to play this year than Lucas Giolito at this point. But like I said, it's just hilarious. You also have to keep in mind Giolito has a $19 million player option for next year. Definitely picking that up now. The guy's going to miss the entirety of this year. And probably won't even pitch the majority of next season. I think I saw somebody say, if he gets back from Tommy John surgery, you're probably looking at like the last 2 months of next year. So you're paying him $38 million over 2 years to pitch for 2 months. Not great. Again, shitty situation, because you don't expect an injury like this to happen. That's kind of where I'm at too. Like I'm sure the Red Sox knew. I'm sure there were physicals involved with this signing because it seemed like it was just a freak thing that happened in spring training. Like he felt discomfort in his elbow, and then like a day later, you had this report come out. But if there's a chance, and again, it would be so Red Sox if there was, if it did. But if there's a chance that they knew about an injury like this creeping up when they signed him, oh my God, look out with how this team is going to be perceived moving forward. Because again, now the guy's hurt. You knew that when you signed him, you're putting all your eggs in that basket. Like it's a bad look is going to look a lot worse. Which is
Yeah.
again, every time we talk about the Red Sox, it's crazy that we're saying that, but it's just where it is. Like,
Yeah, there's the difference between fearing it and really any pitcher, because it can happen to anybody, especially
true.
guys with the more whippy windups.
He
Like
does
we
have a
saw Chris
weird, like,
Sale.
kind of short arm motion
Yeah.
too, so
So
it is
that's just something
bound
that
to.
I think any pitcher should try not to do. But yeah, it when it comes to that angle you said, like they knew and they're like, ooh, haha, maybe we can do this. And if he gets hurt, it's like, ah,
Doesn't
sorry
fly under
guys,
the
we
radar,
tried.
yeah.
It would be so perfectly Red Sox, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest bit. It sucks, but like the team still sucks. Like
Yeah,
it's not
that's what I
like
mean. Like,
this is ruining title hopes or even a chance to get a wild card spot, because
yeah,
they
it's like,
might
ah, oh,
be
season's
a
over
good
now.
chance
Lucas
they're in the
Giolito's done for
basement
the year.
again of the division. So yeah, I don't know, man. Like Jaron Duran got hurt a little bit, I saw it too. I don't know if it's serious.
He's fine. I think I saw, I thought I saw he's fine, though. His surgery on his foot kind of flared up, but I think Cora said that was just precautionary. They took him out of the game the other day. Go ahead.
One final point. Is CJ Cron like the last actually the last step to trading Bobby Dalbec?
He might be.
Or is it
I
just
said
like
that when they signed
speculating?
him. I mean, I'm hoping it's the case. Like, if Crone comes out, just the fact that alone that you could, again, he's not what he used to be. Don't get me wrong. Like, CJ Crone is not this, 40 home run monster in the lineup. But just saying that you could put Bobby Dalbec in the middle of your lineup or CJ Crone in the middle of your lineup to flank Devers and Casas,
Yeah,
what are
CJ
we doing
Cron.
here? Like, it's an obvious
I
choice.
saw
Again,
too. They're apparently trying Rob Refsnyder at first base a little bit, which like could also spell bad news for Dalbec.
yeah, that's they're
Just like
trying
so he's
him.
more
I
of a
saw
more valuable
Reyes
bench
getting action at
piece.
first base, so
They're
which probably isn't
just
going to be the
doing
case
whatever
now.
the
But
fuck they can think of, like
yep,
to
but
make it look like they're doing something.
they're a team of platoon players. Like they have seven out of the nine guys on the roster, or not obviously counting the pitcher, but you know what I mean. Like most of the position
Also,
players can play numerous spots. So
Marcelo Mayer, bad haircut.
absolutely. Thought the
Bad
same thing
haircut.
when I saw it the other day, and it was Roman Anthony. We blame Roman Anthony for that because I think he was the one that either said get a whiffle or get a buzz cut, or actually
That's
was
not
the
even a
one that gave him
whiffle.
that.
That'd
So,
be Roman Anthony doesn't know what a whiffle is, if that's
yeah,
a
I
whiffle.
may
I
have.
got plenty of whiffles when I was a kid. That was my go-to
Yep.
haircut when I was a kid, so I know what a whiffle looks like,
I
brother.
thought that was every kid's go-to. That was mine as well.
Well, why do that to your nice hair you had?
Beats
Come
me.
on, buddy. I mean, Tristan
Bad choice
Casas,
there.
like, what's Tristan Casas looks like a moron with his
I
haircut.
told you, every time I see a video or picture of him, he's got some new hairstyle or some new beard style, which it's like, again, to each their own, but like it's just kind of funny.
God, I wish
Maybe
I had
that's
the
the.
confidence with my hair that they do. On my hair, I get the same haircut every time. I trim my
Yep.
beard a couple times a
Right there with
week,
you.
trim the little wispy hairs that are hanging out.
Maybe that'll be
I
the
don't have
thing
the
to
balls to do
watch.
anything like that.
No, maybe that'll be the thing to watch with the Boston Red Sox this year is will Marcelo Mayer get his flow back at some point, and what hairstyle will Tristan Casas have from month to month? Because
This is coming
Lord
from
knows, there's not
somebody.
going to be a whole lot else to
This is
watch.
coming from somebody who's got multiple Mohawks in my life and Avatar arrows shaved into my head. So, yeah,
That is
state tournament,
unfortunate.
state tournament, weird haircuts, back in the
That
day.
makes sense.
So,
You ever dye your hair blonde? Like, because that's a
yeah,
hockey thing, right?
every
Okay.
year, yeah, so,
All
yeah,
right.
painful,
Gotcha.
painful to bleach your hair, painful, itchy, first time painful, last few times itchy, annoying experience.
Wouldn't know. Couldn't
Wouldn't
experience it.
recommend. Wouldn't
All right.
recommend. That's about it, unless you have anything else to add.
No, I mean, just we kind of touched on a little bit with the Montgomery stuff, but like again, to a normal GM, normal team, an injury like this for Giolito, would you'd sit there and go, okay, well now we have to go out and get a starter, and it's obviously good for Montgomery's case. I know we dumped on Boris last week for wanting too much money, but this is what he waits for. Like somebody is bound to go down in spring training. Now you're going to see Montgomery's price tag jump up tremendously, which it will, and rightfully so, because teams are, or Red Sox, if they were serious about signing somebody, would probably go after him. But a name that I saw come up the other day that I completely forgot was even still available. I was kind of surprised he hadn't signed yet. Like, if you're not going to go out and get a Jordan Montgomery, like Michael Lorenzen's out there. I know he's not the flashiest of names. I can't remember how he ended up doing down the stretch of Philadelphia. I know he had the no-hitter or the perfect game, whatever it was. That's a guy you should be able to get cheap. Like, he's not going to break the bank. If you need someone to eat innings or just be not Cooper Criswell as your number five starter, like, that should be
That should
easy.
be your incentive right there, man. And
Yeah,
hey, if you
absolutely.
suck, somebody will take Michael Lorenzen at the deadline.
Well, that was kind of the thing I was hoping for with Giolito. If they
Yeah.
stunk, like there goes one of your trade assets now out the window. Again, unfortunate, but yeah, I mean it's coming up all Red Sox now for them. Now they have even more of an excuse to throw Whitlock in the rotation and keep Houck in the rotation, and roll with five young, I don't want to say unproven guys, because there's been some guys that have had some major league innings. But again, it's back to a rotation, not with Giolito to begin with, that was going to strike a whole lot of fear into opposing teams. But now with him out again, your innings eater, you're right back to where you were last year, minus Chris Sale. At least with Chris Sale out there or on the team, you kind of maybe had some hope that, and I'm not
Yeah.
saying this is like, oh, you never should have traded Chris Sale, but like there was a hope of like, all right, you have a veteran major league caliber starter who, if right, is going to go out there and pitch every fifth day for you. Now
Yeah.
without Giolito, you don't have that anymore.
Yeah, at this rate in the pitching staff, you're just hoping for Bayo to keep going. Maybe this ends up, opening up an opportunity for Tanner Houck to become the guy you're hoping for, and maybe Cutter Crawford takes a step. Those are three guys I'm looking at. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
it's about
You
it,
kind of forget Pavetta's there. Like, wouldn't surprise me
Yeah.
if Pavetta's now your
I
opening day
think
starter
Pavetta is what
because
he
Giolito's
is.
done. But that's
I'm not going
exactly
to
the
make those
case.
bold
Like,
predictions like I did that one time
yeah,
with him that
no.
went very poorly, to my knowledge, if my memory serves. But yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, just a boring team. So
Absolutely.
I think that's going to wrap it up. I saw an interesting bit of news that apparently the Ryan Johansson inclusion in the Sean Walker trade is because, there's a little tension in the locker room. Maybe it was after Devin Toews called out some guys that aren't working hard enough. Maybe he just wasn't a good locker room fit. He won't be a better locker room fit with old friend Torts in Philly, I guess. So
Not.
they're hoping somebody takes the last 2 years of that contract at $4 million per on waivers. Wouldn't count on it. Wouldn't count on Ryan Johansson even reporting to the AHL. Can't believe Evgeny Kuznetsov even did. He makes a $7.8 million player reports to the AHL. Couldn't believe he did that. Highest paid player in AHL history. Little ramble there at the end. Thank you so much for listening. Episode 183 of the Savage and Craddy Sports Podcast, or Salon Craddy. I'm still not fully used to saying Salon Craddy. Bear with me here. You can find us wherever you find your podcast. You're going to see more trade deadline coverage from me coming up on TikTok. We'll see some draft stuff in the off season. All this stuff. I'm going to be more active on the TikTok, is what I'm saying. Please tune in. Got some good views in that last one yesterday. First post in a while. So thank you. Any new listeners that may have seen us for the first time there, welcome. We're available wherever you find your podcasts. We're available on Twitch and YouTube. Look at Full Press Coverage. You can also download the app, Full Press Coverage, free in the App Store. You can follow us on Twitter at Mike underscore Caratti. Last name Caratty. Ryan underscore Salvaggio, and the show at Sal and Caratti Pod. We'll see you next week. Trade deadline, maybe some NFL stuff, some big news, more and more on top of that. I will see you then. Stay safe, stay healthy, be nice to people, all that good stuff. We'll talk to you later. And if you're on spring break, enjoy it. Peace out.